It's the Drew and Mike Show from the DealsND.com studios. And we're live on Facebook. And it's a special day today because Mr. Skin is back after a significant absence on the program. I don't even know where to start with Skin. He does have a book coming out.
Nice.
All I remember from the title is 20 Years of Nip Slips, something and something.
He'll write me a book, kid.
What a great title.
I'm sure he will enlighten us. And Eli's in, too. And I think there's some... There's a lot of subject matter from this week, some of which we got into. But I'm curious, especially about the Matt Patricia thing with the reporter. Do we know who the reporter is yet?
I think it was Rothstein from ESPN.
Really?
That's what somebody said.
Huh. Okay.
You know.
Well, I got a big Michigan game this weekend, too. And Michigan State's playing Maryland, which is very strange after all that's happened in Maryland. That's another topic. So, anyway, Eli will be here in about an hour. We'll talk about all that.
Trudy can space out.
Definitely.
Trudy can get into her...
Gives me time to space out.
Phone and computer.
No, I was...
You wrote that in the notes yesterday, and it made me laugh. We both took notes before I compiled them together. And Trudy just wrote, something sports, I spaced, Trudy spaced out. It was written in third person.
And then it happened later on in the show, and I was like, spaced out again.
I think the Matt Patricia story, though, I mean, he excoriated a reporter for his posture at a press conference. So that's not something you can't participate in.
Kind of total dick move.
Do you antagonize the media when you're 3-4? Because he's 3-4 lifetime as a head coach. He's not Bill Belichick.
That's what I was saying. Win some Super Bowls and then be a dick.
Maybe he has no one else he can lash out at, though.
I don't really know where.
I don't know about skill, but I have a lot of media.
Maybe he's just a hothead. I'm not sure. Or he just thinks that he can control the media. But I think he's going to learn a hard lesson. Unless he's got
social
media
and Twitter's what's destroying this country anyway.
Yeah, take a note from Mike Gundy.
Maybe he's got a lot of wins up his sleeve that we don't know about yet. So,
do you think he'll be reflecting many years in the future how
about what a dick he was?
Handle things?
Unlikely.
No, I don't think so.
With his pencil behind his ear?
I don't think people that do that do that.
Last?
Well, I don't think they reflect. I just think they lash and
that's true.
They try not to lash out too soon.
But if you win, nobody cares. You can lash away.
Pretty much.
Right.
Although I don't think it ever really pays off, especially that it was so stupid and so it was just petty and mindless. I don't know, it was just really weird. Especially for a guy that dresses like he does and he's a heavy set guy. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on him. I just don't get it. But I want to hear what Eli has to say about that. We're post Halloween, so how did Halloween go, Charlotte? She had Halloween canceled, I guess. So
I let it go forward, and I've never seen a person happier in my life than she was yesterday. She had a blast.
How much of it was because it was Halloween, and how much was because it wasn't canceled?
Oh, 100% because it was on it was just Halloween.
Okay. So the cancellation was lost in the excitement.
She did tell Julie, she goes, Dad tried to take my mattress away. She was like, did you really try to take your mattress away? I'm like, maybe. That's the only thing, the only move I had at that time. But she went out twice, and the second time I said, now look, when they offer you the bowl, take stuff that we don't have at home.
Yeah. I thought strategizing was a really good move. I'd never thought about that before.
You know what I saw last night in the many, many bags? Wow, there were a lot of trick-or-treaters here. I mean, it was a traffic jam on my street. Yeah, there were so many people, I guess, don't live here that wanted to trick-or-treat. I'm kind of flattered, actually. They were cute kids.
You should have live-tweeted it. Should have taken a picture of every single kid and commented.
I did. You know, I thought about it, but the dogs would start barking, and I realized they were at the door, and I just kind of hurry. I'd say 95% of my trick-or-treaters were black.
Really?
Surprised. Well, the neighborhood's not terribly black.
But we talked about this before.
Detroit, I mean terrible as in terrible.
Detroit's only a mile away.
Yeah.
And maybe well,
I just wondered where the neighborhood,
safer neighborhood
the neighborhood kids. There's
a lot of apartments in Oak Park.
There aren't a lot of kids, I guess, right here. And I'm not complaining. Actually, it made me feel bad, if anything, that somebody doesn't want to trick or treat where they live. So they come over here. And
go black!
I think that sucks. I mean, it's too bad.
I bet you don't even have any black people here.
But they looked like they were all having fun, and there were some cute costumes, and there were some... I got rid of most of the candy, which was the main goal, so...
I know, I noticed, like, all your candy is gone today, which is awesome. I'm so happy.
It was such a flurry of activity. I'm not kidding you. My street was a traffic jam in both directions.
Just a block away when I went home, I went through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people who, they really decorate in this neighborhood. Like, they go all out.
You mean,
had a casket, he had a fire going, so there was smoke. Yeah. And webs and the whole thing. I mean, he had all kinds of stuff in the front yard. And there were a lot. There was a lot of activity. And this is just maybe around the block from you.
I have some partiers in my neighborhood. Like, the houses get together and have a big bonfire and party and just set bowls of candy out.
Yeah, that's a popular adult thing to do for Halloween. But it was mostly at the door anyway. It was little kids.
Hey!
Little kids with young moms. And they were... They were just amazingly cute, and a lot of them wanted to pet Layla.
How old is this kid?
They made comments about the dogs, and then a couple said Mags was fat.
Oh, they did?
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh.
Take candy and then
Did you reach back in the bag and snatch it back?
Well, they were just being observant, as kids do, saying what's on their mind.
Observant.
That's impolite, though.
Kids are kids.
Just call them big.
We had a family come, and they were all Marvel, the mom, the dad, and the two little kids. It was just adorable.
Oh, my.
But we had a lot this year, too. It was, for some reason, a lot of people went out trick-or-treating.
We did not.
And on my way home, Zeus calls me and he goes, you get here, like, really fast because I'm giving out too much candy. And he was... He was just like the weakest link.
Wait, he needed his mommy?
Because he was giving out too much candy?
Hi, mommy.
I'm a hard ass.
Hi,
mommy.
I was like, just...
Hi, mommy.
Hi, mommy. Just give him one. And he goes, I gave one kid a Hershey's with almonds, and I felt bad for him, so I gave him another one. I'm like, Hershey's with almonds is a good candy bar.
Hi, Hershey, mom.
How dare you?
Who's my mom?
Hershey with almonds? Wow, I like
you give out big candy bars then.
Yeah,
like the ones. Cool.
And he was giving away too many, and so he burned through too much of our candy stock. So I had to shut the lights off at 7:30.
Ooh.
But at the
I guess mom do knows best.
At the very end, I had like four left, and I wanted to give them away, and four people came up, and then another, and so I gave them all away, and then this tiny little kid in a Superman outfit was left, and he goes, he looks at my face, and this was weird that he noticed. Because he was maybe all of five. And I had this, like, tragic look on my face. And he goes, what? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I'm all out. What do I do? And the little girl next to him goes, here, you can have mine.
Oh. Men win again.
That was the cutest possible moment. That's true.
The patriarchy is strong in her.
That's what that little dude took away from
that. And Superman
she knew to give it up to the guy.
Superman took the candy bar?
Superman took it. And then
disappointed in Superman.
Yeah, and then I locked it all down.
Very chivalrous.
And shut off the lights. And regardless, there's some group of people. I was really tempted to go to the door because they knocked, and then they knocked again, and they knocked like five or six times in a row. Stop!
Come on.
But, yeah.
Well, there was so much candy left. We're doing that thing, you know, where you can give the candy to the troops, and then all I can think of is, oh man, I feel bad for the troops because all they're gonna get are like York peppermint patties.
You know what was? You know what I noticed in
they're gonna get all the candy nobody wants.
Hated candy.
I saw in people's bags last night. I couldn't believe how many kids had bags of potato chips.
Oh, we got some. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Potato chips? That's not a Halloween giveaway.
No. We chips? Got Char got money.
Get out of here.
Really?
Yeah, there was. I heard about some
quarters.
Money giveaways.
Whoa, quarters.
Unprepared people. Is a quarter enough for Halloween these days? That seems like people gave away quarters 20 years ago.
It's like a dollar each for quarter.
Okay.
Did you see there was a politician who was giving out copies of the Constitution?
Oh, please, really?
To which people just threw on his yard.
Let's stop listening to this guy.
There you go. Well,
like, that's like the dentist who gives away toothbrushes.
Whoa, let's stop talking with this guy.
Absolutely. We got skin coming up pretty quick, so I got to mention that we're always busting Maz's balls about everything. The pool lately. Let's see what else. The car. So much to talk about.
There's a story on Channel 4 about buying your kid a car and what to look for.
Oh, I want to watch that. That being said, it turns out all the Zot Ford customers that buy from Maz actually love Maz. I think he's going to be Employee of the Month. He sold 18 cars in October. And listen to these great reviews. Tom Mazzo makes the experience so delightful. I wish I could buy a car every month. I love my F-150 almost as much as Margot Kidder loves hers. Margot Kidder loved her. She had an F-150? Did she talk about that?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Well, I got to listen to that. She always bragged about that truck and all her great friends. She did. Okay. Mm. It's out for. Well, Corey, thank you. Hands down, I don't remember. I had the best car buying experience ever. Tom Asby was patient, knowledgeable, and a real pleasure to work with. I feel like I got a great deal on my new Explorer. That's from Crystal. So there you go, Maz. Some great reviews. If you want an awesome deal from a ridiculous guy, go visit Tom Mazwin and our friends at Zotford and Holly or surf their sensational deals in Mazwin inventory at dealsinthed.com. I think he sold over 200 cars over there.
Wow.
What? Or at least, when?
Yeah, Since he's been there. He's only been there 13 months. It's amazing.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
If you're looking to purchase or refinance your home, you need to check out our friends at Hall Financial. They know how to deliver five-star service. They're racking up those reviews, almost 500 five-star reviews. They attend their closings. That's something people always point out, that they brought the paperwork over. One guy was 2 hours away, and they brought it there. They close in an average of 14 days, down from 19, and they're consistently helping those who are turned away elsewhere because they take the time to ask questions. They know how to deliver. Here's one of their favorite reviews. Best mortgage company I've ever dealt with. Extremely client-oriented. Upfront about everything. Made me feel like I was top priority. Plus, their rates and costs were competitive with the cut-rate lenders and way better than the large-size mortgage companies. I could write a commercial for Hall because I've seen so many really nice emails about what they've done for our listeners. So, best mortgage company. We will not argue with that. Hall Financial is continuously noted as stress-free by its clients. Clients love Hall Financial. They really do. The high-level service they deliver and the great deals they get. And I know David Hall is very demanding, but they are very good.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that. He seems like a very easygoing guy to me, but he's really intense. You can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
When you're in his presence.
Yeah. Well, he knows his business.
He does. Yep. He's a lot of fun, too, though. I know about his golf and likes to have a good time. This team really cares about their clients, and right now they have a free appraisal offer to be credited at closing when you obtain a conventional home loan. Call them today for your mortgage needs, 248-308-5000, or go to davidhallmortgage.com or click the link on our website. It goes right to them. Just fill out the online form. They are a Michigan licensed broker, lender, and NMLS number 1467435, equal housing lender.
Why are your dogs so out of control today?
What's going on?
I don't know. They,
it's their home.
Mags is just like, he's Mags. Demanding. Oh. He's usually the easygoing one. And
yeah,
it's
he's pretty mellow.
Man.
I'm trying to think if there's a reason for that. They've only been outside once. Oh. So, I don't know. Maybe they got a little cabin fever. On Halloween costumes?
Yeah.
Did you guys see Ellen as a Bachelor contestant?
No.
She looked hot.
What?
Really? Yeah,
not joking. Ellen, huh? She's wearing a long blonde wig. Yeah, look it up. I'm telling you, you'll be kind of... I was kind of blown away.
Oh, well...
I think you'll see why.
Yeah.
And then...
She, you know, she's blonde. She has light blue eyes. She can pull that. Oh, look. Yeah holy shit.
I don't know. I feel like...
She's all yours.
I'm not. I realize we're not.
She doesn't want him.
We're not on the opposing teams. We're on the same team, but just noticed that.
Oh,
good. No, I know.
It's the boobs.
Well, the boobs were definitely part of it. Did you know she had a rack like that?
Well, it's fake.
Yeah, oh, it's got to be.
Is it fake? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't care. It still looks good. I don't really care where it came from.
Oh, that's funny. She brought out her future husband, the Bachelor, who is Milo Ventimiglia from This Is Us. Hilarious.
Porsche had to have several cushion changes watching it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
At home.
And then OJ, I thought, was so cute.
I know.
He was a gynecologist with a little handle name tag, Dr. Seymour Bush, which is so funny. Yes. OJ is a gynecologist, and I just love how oblivious he is to the, you know, how that might look to somebody. He murdered his ex-wife or was responsible for her death.
He possibly should not trick or treat or attend costume parties.
Halloween's probably not a good idea. I don't know. I wonder if he's ever come up with a costume that didn't sort of have, you know,
murder
some
related?
Ugly ramifications.
Yeah. Well, he can't be like anybody with a knife. He can't be, yes. You know, butcher.
Well, anybody.
He doesn't need a costume. He's OJ. He is a costume.
Well, whatever's going on over there has got to stop.
Remember last year he just wore his jersey.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But he was just giving out candy. He wasn't at.
a party.
That party.
Well, I read the little story about him being a gynecologist, and it sounded like there were lots of laughs. I was just imagining a lot of hoo-hoo-ha-ha. And he was taking
Hey, yeah, man, what's going on? Can I help you?
Taking pictures all night at the Blue Martini. Of course, he had to be out at a bar. Hey, Layla, what's going on here? Both of you are going to go upstairs pretty soon. So pictures all night. Then Kim Kardashian
there
was...
There were probably a bunch of chicks there, too, that he was hitting.
Oh, of course. It goes without saying.
Ugh.
Then Kim Kardashian was so frustrated that people didn't know who she was that she called them retards on Instagram.
Oh, good one,
and
idiot.
I could have sworn... She said retard before. Did she do that once?
I
could swear I remember that or her saying something dumb. And then I saw the picture of his Pam Anderson, and all of a sudden I didn't care about anything anymore. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's who she was?
Well, no, she was a different costume. She changed.
Oh, she's the only person that would have to change costumes mid-party.
Of course. I don't even know who she was when she called everyone retards for not knowing. But when she was Pam Anderson, she was really flopping her rack out there.
Yeah.
Hey, Halloween is such a great excuse for chicks to slut out.
Yeah, it's great.
I think I like that part of it, I have to admit. And it always, when it's somebody who surprises you, so I was like, well, so that's your secret dream. Very nice.
It's
usually the same people.
Is there a video of her saying it?
I think there is.
Okay.
I believe she was on it. I think it's probably taken down because it was so
horrible. Oh, come on,
and she's so sorry.
I'm sure people have captured it.
I know you'll probably fire me for this again, but and thanks for rehiring me after the Tina Turner revelation. But somebody was making fun of me for that, and I was like, "That's not the worst Halloween costume that I ever had."
Oh, I think I might know what it is. Nicole Brown Simpson?
No.
I think you've had great Halloween costumes. I have to say that was a really good one.
I was Monica Seles one year. Remember?
With
a knife in the back. But and that was only because I wanted to wear a tennis skirt. And that was the only reason.
Oh,
but
that's good enough.
Yeah, that was a cute costume.
But when I worked for WLVQ in Columbus, I went as a little Nazi girl.
What?
I know. And,
really?
And you know what?
Look how loose we all were then, though. Did anyone complain?
It was quite... No one did. But and then I had, you know, like my husband at the time, Joe, on a leash and a chain. You know, but it was more of a bondage theme than a Nazi theme.
Okay.
And I never had any, you know, like inclination to... You know,
murder Jews,
gas people.
Were you wearing a swastika?
I had a little, you know, band. It was mostly, fishnet stockings and a black jacket, and you know, and kind of that look.
Do you still have it?
No.
See, that's fine.
You know, part of me misses the old Trudy that could go out and do that because those were great. You wore some great costumes over the years.
Thanks.
And it just seems, I don't know, we're so uptight. It's just, can anyone do anything? When I heard the Simpsons were dropping Apu, I just felt like, wow, entertainment is just going to get dreadful going forward.
They said
you can't
not.
Do anything. I know, they said they're not, but, you know, it really is a thing. I mean, you see, the fact it's even being talked about is appalling to me.
I came across,
we got to call Skin, I just realized.
A video on YouTube of Jeff Ross in his best roasts.
Yeah.
He's just roasting anybody here or there. And I forgot about the time he was on the Emmett Smith roast where he's ripping on Shaq.
Oh yeah.
And he's vicious, man.
He is.
And he said, "This isn't a roast, this is a barbecue," which you know today people will be up in arms about. And then he said, "Shaq, I see your knuckles are bleeding. Did you walk here?"
Oh.
Which it is.
I'm guessing Shaq laughed.
Joke. Oh, he did. The whole room laughed.
See, I honestly don't know. I feel like white people are way more uptight about this stuff than black people are.
Well,
but cleaned up Jeff Ross wouldn't be funny at all.
No. And I heard the Lisa Lampanelli thing she's, you know, Lisa Lampanelli's done with comedy.
Yeah.
What?
You didn't hear that? We should call her. She's going into life coaching. She's not roasting anymore. She's not doing any of that.
Because of the environment or she's just done?
I think she's just done, maybe it's just for now.
Yeah, it could be.
But,
Yeah, I think she'll come back.
But, you know, I mean, she could probably make a lot as an inspirational speaker, and then she's not under the pressure that she was under.
Oh, I'm really intrigued to talk to her. I mean, she's just a lot of fun. I don't care what she's doing. Although I'm kind of bummed.
Me too. I loved her.
You want to knock that out before Skin?
Sure. Yep.
And I'll mention that Al Roker... Al Roker got some people all upset by being Doc Brown. He didn't whiten his skin, though.
No.
But
I
thought it was kind of stupid, though. Why would he be a white person after? It just seemed sort of like, why? I don't even know why he'd do that, because you know people were going to bitch. Even though they're stupid, it's like he just created a thing, and there was no reason to, and there was no reason for the thing either. But you knew. As soon as I saw Al Roker, I said, oh boy, here we go. And Al Roker's going to have to moralize one more time and say, I didn't just don't change the color of your skin. I didn't do that. So that was a waste of, I'd say 45 seconds of my life.
Do you want to hear the Pamela Anderson thing, or do you not care?
Yeah, why not? You mean Kim?
Or Kim.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go, Pam.
Oh, maybe. You know what? That's not it. Hang on.
Yeah, she's in that costume. That's it right there, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Stephanie!
Oh, my God, this is so
fun.
This is my favorite costume.
Nobody knows who I am. Yeah. Yeah. Retarded. Yes.
She posted that? She sounded like...
What is going on there?
She sounded like... Wait, not Trisha. What's her name from Bachelor?
I know who you're talking about.
I can't believe
Ryan
I can't
and
her name.
Trista.
Trista.
Yeah.
Trisha. Trista.
There she is. Aaliyah. All right. Cool. You're hot. Whatever.
Oh, I know.
Get over your fucking self.
Again, she interprets Halloween as a chance just to take off as many clothes as possible.
Which she does good. All
which
the time.
She interprets
anyway.
Every day.
Which I'm glad. I'm glad she does. Glad all women are empowered enough to be sexy
for
Halloween.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what else is sexy? Lincoln.
Oh, that is very sexy.
And especially if it's from Hoop McInerney star Lincoln, the Lincoln Navigator. That's sexy. Was chosen the 2018 North American Truck of the Year. I drive the Lincoln MKZ. It was just won the 2018 North American Sexy Car of the Year. The 2019 Lincoln MKCs are there. And the 2019 Lincoln Nautiluses are also there. They come standard with safety extras that otherwise would cost you thousands, like blind spot monitoring, lane centering technology for continuous steering support. And if you have one of those Androids, you can just set it in the center console, and it's going to be charging wirelessly. 2019 is Lincoln's year, the effortless experience. Lock in a price with online shopping and just come pick it up at Star. You can enjoy Lincoln's complimentary pickup and delivery. Star will come and get your vehicle and leave you a loner whenever you need work done. Just give Jimmy D a call, 855-567-STAR. Email him, jimmyd@starlincoln.com. It's all part of the Star treatment that the legendary dealer, Hoop McInerney, established at Star 50 years ago. It remains the jewel of Detroit Lincoln dealerships. It's at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. What number are we calling them at?
I texted it to you.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just... It's a good thing Mr. Skin isn't like Gary Graff, because I usually don't prepare because there's no reason to.
Yeah, he brings all the surprises to you.
And this book,
idea what's going on.
This is unlike his other book. This is an actual autobiography.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Did you know that?
No, I saw
story of Skin.
It's a good story. You know, I saw him give a speech in Las Vegas at some convention. I wasn't there. It was online, and he was talking about, you know, going from trading on the trading floor in Chicago, and even then he was a savant. Nudity to the growth of Mr. Skin, and it was a very funny speech too, because he was talking about his mom, because he hired, you know, some family members to help his mom his mom wanted to know if something qualified as Bush, you know, based on a picture that was a little dark, I guess.
This is on the Hall Financial Hotline.
Ah, yes. Oh, is it open?
It is now. I can't open it or else it's going to kill Skin's music.
Okay. Mr. Skin?
Hello?
Hey, Skin!
Hold on, I got a new phone. I'm trying to learn how to use it. Hold on.
What?
Okay.
Oh boy.
Us too.
He's in new quarters too. He's got a new office.
That's right. Things are coming up, Skin.
There's so many things to talk about.
What does a Skin phone look like, by the way, I wonder?
A dick. No, he would never do that. A vagina.
Well, if he was doing an interview for Mr. Man, it might be the penis phone.
His wireless headset is two boobs, like on his ears.
Oh, that's really cute.
Oh, he really does not know how to use his phone. How embarrassing.
But this new phone.
Oh, man.
He had the coolest office, too. I couldn't believe he moved.
At least it gives us time to power up the hotline.
Ah, yes, Hall Financial. Click the link to Hall Financial. fill out the online form. They'll contact you about how to shorten the length of your mortgage. Whatever numbers you need crunched, they'll crunch them, and they crunch them fast. And they're really known, I have to say, for getting back to people and getting back fast. 14 days now. It was 19 days. It was crammed in my brain that they were 25 days faster. But no.
I want to buy a house for them to refinance or just finance.
Do it.
That's how excited I am about it.
Take two. Hello?
I'm here.
There
hey.
Here.
Yeah, we just heard a dial tone all of a sudden.
No, that's because I'm in a new office with the new phone, and I don't know how to use it. You're my first phone call.
Oh, cool. Whoa, right. What an honor. By the way, I just mentioned that you had moved, and your old office, you know, I finally took the tour a few years ago. It was such a cool office, and had an area with pool tables, and it just looked like a real fun place to work, and I was surprised you were moving. Did you just get too big?
No, we had been in the same space for, like, gosh, 14 years, and this new space is really cool, and I don't know, we just were able to lay it out the way we wanted it, so it's fun, and everyone really loves it. And it's only, like, 6 blocks away, so...
Is it more millennial or Gen Z oriented?
Yeah, open office.
It's LBGTQ. No, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just what happens is when you're in the same space, as you guys know, for a long time, you tend to just add things and chop things up and move things around. This way we were able to start completely from scratch and redesign the office the way we wanted it, and it's pretty cool. And I signed a 6-year lease, so I think 6 years will be the end of the road for this, so we'll see.
What?
Gen Z hates open office concepts. 50% of them want their own office.
What would you go to from this?
I think you need
retirement. Sell it?
Here's my thing. This is my thing. Like, I don't want to be in my 60s and be like, hey, did you see the Netflix? I think it might be a little creepy, I might have to retire.
How old is Bo?
My kid's 12.
So, okay, so 6 years. 18!
Yeah,
Bo would be old enough. Perfect.
Oh. Yeah, he'd be just old enough to take over the business, right?
Speaking of Bo... I tweeted out, because we had that incredible YouTube clip of Bo when he was how old, 3 years old or 4 years old?
3 years old.
And he was bashing a baseball or whatever, a wiffle ball or whatever was all over the field. I've got an updated tweet today of 12-year-old Bo, and he's blasting. I thought it was a home run. It was a double off the top of the fence. But
nice.
He is still, now what is he still dominating?
Yes, he does very well. He plays with older kids, but then for... he was in this thing called PBR Futures, which is Prep Baseball Report, and he played against his own grade and kids his own age this summer. I think that's what you grabbed a YouTube vid of. And, yeah, it's fun. Listen, it's the hardest game in the world, baseball, and I'm not naive, but he's doing great now, but there's a long way to go to see how well he does down the road.
I'm sure kids are catching up. I mean, he was so far ahead at three, but...
Well, his three-year-old stuff was stupid. Even Deadspin posted it. They were like, this is ridiculous. And we had, like, so many views. Plus, you guys put it on your... you and Mike put it on your website on Riff, like, when it... This is what? Like, 2010, maybe?
Yeah.
And between Deadspin and your website, the thing has like 70,000 views or something. You
know? Well, I was upset today because I saw he only had 94 views, and I was like, we got to get this kid some views. He's going to lose his self-confidence.
It just went up, and now that you gave it all that notoriety, I'm sure it'll really skyrocket.
Well, I hope so, because that's not right to see views going down. For a 12-year-old, that's got to be a horrible feeling.
He doesn't even know it's up, but he'll get pissed at me when he finds out. So.
You can see 11-year-old Bo and 10-year-old Bo too. It's really pretty cool, and he's a lefty too, which I love. And he goes to left field.
Yeah, he sprays it around, as we like to say.
Yes, he does. So, you got a new book coming out?
Yes.
And what's the title?
Being Mr. Skin. Now, pre-orders available at Amazon. You know, we have next year's my 20th anniversary, believe it or not.
Wow.
We launched the website in 1999. And I just had a couple people come to me and said, you know, you should write a book based on your life. And I was like, I don't want, no way. You know, and I kind of fought it. But then I found a real good co-writer to write it with me. And it's not ready yet. It'll be ready coming out next year. But I'm pretty proud of it. We'll see. It's kind of the whole goofy story of how this all happened and what it was like to be a kid for me and just this whole journey. And it's pretty funny, and it's not what you think, but there's a lot of great lists and things that you would want, I guess, from the book. But it's more about just this whole story of how crazy it is that I actually get to do this for a living.
Well, I saw the edited, you know, you gave an edited version, which was sort of a speech. Hey, Layla, easy. Oh, my gosh, we got all kinds of activity. In Vegas, you gave that speech. It was about 45 minutes long.
That's what made me. Yeah, no, I did a keynote address for the porn convention. You know, those are the places that I am popular and famous. But I did a keynote address in Vegas, and it forced me to kind of put a story together of how this happened. And I based the book on that thing.
It was really good. No, I watched it. I know the story to some degree, and I watched it. I was very entertained. And are you going to now? Are we
this is origin about, story, Drew?
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
Are we going to hear about the days at Oak Park High School playing baseball too?
No, not. I didn't get into that. I did mention that. You know, I wanted to be a center fielder for the White Sox more than anything, and I played baseball. But I don't get into my stats and stuff.
I thought at least a couple pages. Jeez, okay.
Yeah, you mean the state champion?
I didn't even know that you guys won the state.
Ooh, we won state. Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like there's going to be an addendum to the book.
Yeah, I think there should be.
Well, as an interesting note, my son will be playing baseball at the same high school that Drew did.
Oh, wow.
That's so. Well, I was going to point out that we were in the final four in the state, but I was, was quickly topped, and we ran into something called Bill Gullickson. And,
oh, the old Montreal Expo.
Yeah, and Detroit Tiger, and he pitched for Brothers.
Would he have been at, like, Joliet Catholic or someone?
Yes. Yes, he was, and he was the fourth pick in the draft.
Yeah,
by the Expos.
That.
And he threw 96.
Ooh.
And I think he had four no-hitters his senior year. So, yeah, it was interesting days. Oh, and
did you use wood or aluminum when you played?
We used, I want to say, wood in high school. Maybe we switched to aluminum. I think we did. I didn't think we did use aluminum. Did you?
It existed when you were in high school, but I don't know how good the, like, the first aluminum bats, remember the ping noise they made?
Oh, yeah.
The shitty ping noise?
The ball really flew off that bat, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so this whole story, I bet you it's going to do really well. I think it's going to be a fun read. How much time did you have to spend sitting down with this other writer?
Oh, tons. What he did was, the guy, he's a really good writer, and he is really into this. He actually has a Simpsons book out that was his last book that was... one of the writers for The Simpsons, he co-authored with him, they've been promoting it. He's been spending all his time on that. But anyway, what he did is he literally interviewed me for days, and then he interviewed everyone who works for me and recorded it, and then he transcribed it, and also transcribed a lot of my old radio interviews and everything, and he put this kind of stuff together, and we worked together on, you know, the whole story and what was important and what wasn't. And like I said, I was thinking it's going to be shit. Who'd be interested in this? But as it started to come together and I showed it to some people, the feedback was really good. Even the guy from the publishing company in New York, who happened to be a fan of what I do, luckily, he said that he was assuming it was just going to be a bunch of lists and top fives and this and that and just
picks.
Mr. Skinisms and stuff. But he thought it was, your story's really cool is basically what he said. So we'll see. Who knows?
Do,
Did you demand the interview tapes of all your employees, the raw, unedited ones, just to hear what they said about you?
Yeah. I am already fired 5 guys.
Well,
but you know, it helps too, because think about, like, if you were thinking about, like, you're in Mike's, when you guys, for all the years you were on the radio, like, having, you know, talk to a Mark or guys that used to work for you, they remember shit that you would never remember, or they might have a different spin on something, and that was a great thing. Even people that used to work for me that, you know, don't work for me anymore, they had some great insight. It was kind of cool to hear what people had to say. I got to say, it was pretty neat.
It's a pretty memorable place to work, I would think. And,
And the fun,
I tell you, walking through there, I really laughed out loud looking at these guys going through scenes. It's so unique. I think it's going to be a great book.
The biggest shock, and especially at this newer office, because it's one big area with where everyone's sitting like in a big open area, is they freak out about how quiet it is. Because you just think, like, guys are like standing on their desk jerking off or something. But it's just like, there's a lot of work to do, and it's pretty chill. I mean, we have a fun time and great vibe and everything, but it's not like the New York, you know, like the Wall Street Journal office with people running all over them. You know, it's completely chill when you come.
Is there an immunity to those scenes after a while? Is it just like watching any scene after you?
Well, it's funny. I think about it. I might have mentioned this in the book. Like, it's so weird for me. Like, I literally park my car, I walk in, everyone's, you know, I get in late, whatever, everyone's at their desk, and I'll walk by, and I'll see, like, on, like, some girl's computer screen, like, some girl blowing a guy, and I'm like, and it doesn't even faze me, like, it's like, nice. No big deal, you know? It's just that's the work environment. Or, like, you know, we have that Mr. Man, our male nudity website, and literally, you know, I'll see, like, I'm walking by a guy's desk and there's a guy eating out another guy's ass. Ugh. And I'm like, yeah, typical day at the office, right? You know?
Yeah. Oh, now, are heterosexuals viewing Mr. Man scenes? Or, I mean, it seems like it'd be ideal.
Now, you know, it's funny. When we launched that about 5 years ago, maybe, and I was naive. I was like, oh, yeah. We'll get a lot of women that want to watch the nude guy. You know? And I'm thinking, like, it'll probably be like 50% women. It's like 95% gay men, you know. But you know what? Think of it this way.
A lot of disposable income.
Yeah. Male or female, who's willing to whip out their credit card and pay to see sex and nudity, men or women? Women just aren't wired that way.
We're just afraid we're going to get caught doing it is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you just... It's just not right, Trudy. Yeah, it's just not something that women do, and that's fine. I don't care.
Well, it doesn't seem like anyone wants to watch two guys. Everybody likes watching two girls, but with two guys, it just doesn't seem like it has the same effect. Although I think gay guys like watching it so much, it probably makes up for all the rest of us.
Yeah, and like Mark said, that they have disposable income. They're willing to, and who cares? In the end, do you care who the members are?
I don't know. What percentage of Mr. Skin, though, is women?
Oh, I think we did some kind of not scientific study about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was like I want to say 7%, but we always joke around that it's 99% guys, give or take 1 or 2%. So it's mostly men, obviously, that come to Mr.
7%, pretty impressive. So more chicks like watching heterosexual sex than two dudes, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Well, I do know, even like when I, with my wife and stuff, like I see it all the time where if there's a hot sex scene, you know, with a guy and a girl, women like it. The difference is willing to become a member of a website so you can see this all the time. It's a different, you know, it's a different thing for men and women.
Well, I have to say, I have, I'll admit it, I've loaned out a password or two over time. And
what?
People, sure. That seems to bring more thanks than almost anything you can do for a guy.
That's
and I'm surprised Mr. Skin does as well as it does, because you would think it'd be like Netflix. I don't know how Netflix makes any money. Some people Well, they're all using Brandon's.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, yeah, the one I get a lot too is, you know, oh, there's so much free stuff out there. Why would anyone pay? But I got to tell you, like,
I know why.
The way things are going now, and you guys see it with all the Netflix shows and Hulu and all the different places you can see nudity now, it's actually worth a small monthly fee so that there's a place where it's all organized in such a way that you can keep track of all the shit. Because it really is. Like, when I started almost 20 years ago, there was like four television shows that had nude scenes, literally. I mean, four. Sex in the City was one of them, and there weren't a lot.
Really?
Now there's like 150 shows across like 37 networks or platforms, and there's just so much stuff now. We truly are in the golden age of celebrity nudity.
Well, I will say this.
The index, too. It's so you just want to look somebody up and boom.
The tech is good, and there's short clips, you know, and there's not porn stars on there, so it is easier to find them.
Well, and think about it. Like, when you watch Game of Thrones, you watch an episode.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you just watched a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that good. You know, before, when I started this, every Tuesday they'd have the DVD releases, right? Remember, we used to worry about, like, when things would come out on DVD? And I'd go through them. You know, that was a big deal. Like, we'd go through them all trying to find little bits of nudity. Every freaking night, there's tons of television shows with nude scenes. And there's stuff that you wouldn't even think about, like Vimeo. People are doing short little movies. And, you know, it's so easy to produce or make a thing in high definition that there's so many different places to see nudity now than ever before. It's crazy.
All right, can I quiz you on some new women?
Oh, yeah, you got a new babe. You want to know if they've been naked?
Are you prepared?
What do I need to do?
Well, I don't know. I'm just going to throw
it's all in his head. Are you kidding? He's a savant.
What do you need me to do?
I don't know. Well, okay, my new favorite show is terrible, and I can't stop watching it, and it's Manifest, and the star has terrible eyebrows, but I want to know if Melissa Roxburgh has ever been nude anywhere.
You know, I got to say that this is probably the first time I've been asked about Melissa Roxburgh, and I've been waiting, but... I'm sorry to report. I just have underwear on her. She did an obscure movie called Leprechaun
Great
Origins
flick.
From 2014.
Oh yeah,
where she was in her underwear, but she's never done a nude scene.
I got a technical question about that. Yeah. Is it bursting out of her underwear? Because her eyebrows are crazy.
Well, she's a candidate for a caged monkey where you have the pubes, or otherwise known as a Larry Fine, where you have the pubes come out of the underwear. So, yeah, she would be she's a very dark eye. I think she's from Canada, isn't she?
Oh, I don't know.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Are they known for big eyebrows there? Or?
No, but I just remember I read something on her. I thought she was from Canada.
Who does Eli know?
She's pretty,
man. Oh, he looked her up. Okay.
All right, how about Claire Foy?
Oh, yes. Really? By the way, my...
The queen?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, that's a me and Mrs. Skin actress or show, The Crown, that we love to watch.
I love The
She's
Crown.
Yeah, she plays Queen Elizabeth, and I guess the next season they're going to have a whole new cast, which is kind of a bummer because I love her. They're, you know, because the queen ages over time, they're going to have someone else play her. But anyway, I digress.
Did you
check out a movie?
Were you and your wife?
Trudy was about to tell us where we can see her nude.
I just had to ask, though, were you shocked that they suggested the queen gave Prince Philip a blowjob in one episode of The Crown?
Was I shocked by that? They're married, you know.
She watched. Yeah. She supposedly watched it. Can you imagine her going, "I did not do that"?
I got to tell you that Crown is. It sounds like to guys like to say like if Drew and I were at the football game, like I wouldn't probably go, "Hey Drew, you got to check out the Crown." It's not like what guys talk about, but it's actually a really really good show. I love it.
Yeah.
But anyway, check out a book. She did a movie called. Not a movie, it was like a television show called White Heat. I think it was a mini series. Now, she's a UK actress, obviously, and these are UK things, but she showed her breasts in that, and then did a movie called The Night Watch, and it's not a Game of Thrones thing, but The Night Watch, where she showed breasts in. And then she has an upcoming movie that she's supposed to be naked in, too, which we're excited about. So, yeah, Claire Foy has shown her breasts a few times, but it makes sense because she's British, and they're not afraid to get naked.
Can I keep going, Drew?
Yeah, keep going. Yeah. Still got it, Skin.
Tatiana Maslany.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's our girl from...
Orphan Black.
Orphan Black, that everyone who's seen that show is, in love with her.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool show. She showed her butt on that, by the way, a bunch of times in Orphan Black. But she actually did a movie a couple years ago called Two Lovers and a Bear, where... she's stranded with some dude, way in the wilderness. So all they can do while they're there is have sex. And she actually shows her breasts in that because they didn't really. I'm trying to think on Orphan Black, though. I think it was all butt. I don't think she ever showed boobs. But Two Lovers and a Bear, some great breast shots in that. And that movie came out about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
she's hot.
Brandon's got
and she's
Canadian
the
clip on.
Too.
Wow.
You're like a great white North guy today.
Okay, well, I'll go to Europe for the next one. Zazie Beetz from Atlanta.
What did you just say?
Zazie, I think that's how you pronounce her name. Beat the girl from Atlanta, the TV show Atlanta with Donald Glover.
Oh, the she's like a.
She was in Deadpool too.
Oh yeah,
she's black.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well.
Is she 100% black?
I don't know. She's from Germany. That's all I know.
I thought she was black, but no,
well, she's
never been naked. I've never been able to.
There's black people in Germany.
She's
skin.
Never been naked. Yeah. Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
I thought you were stumped for a second there. I thought you were stalling for time.
No, no. I was trying to remember if she was white or black, but Zazie Beetz has never been naked. But, yes,
balls.
Deadpool 2 is where people would know her from.
How about Rachel Brosnahan, who won the Emmy for the fabulous Mrs. Maisel, which a little overrated.
That's a great question because...
Thank you.
What's interesting about that, so this marvelous Mrs. Maisel is getting these great reviews, and obviously she won... was it an Emmy for that? But they kind of pulled a fast one on us. The pilot episode of that, the pilot.
Which I watched.
Oh, then you should know.
I don't remember. How forgettable.
Well, she was
It's not
up
that
on
forgettable.
Stage.
Yeah, right there.
It's not bad.
Yeah, well, she was up on stage and flashed her boobs. And then the whole first seat. Now, that's the pilot. The whole first season, she didn't get naked. It was like, come on, you know, what's up with that?
That's how they got the show made.
Yeah, check out a movie called Louder Than Bombs from 2015. And I think Jesse Eisenberg was in bed with her. And a great breast shot. Really good.
Ooh, stuff, Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg's in a nude scene?
Turd?
He's laying there. She's nude.
Yeah, it's funny. We're looking at these things as you describe them perfectly.
Oh, you are? Oh,
yeah, we're getting them. Brandon gets up there pretty quick. Wow, Skin, I'm amazed. I don't even know these names. It's weird what network TV used to know everyone, and now there's just so many people to know. I really don't envy what a hard job you have, and I can see why 6 years sounds like enough. I'll believe it when you actually do it.
Well, let me tell you, my crack staff is amazing. I have eight people that literally full-time, I'm looking out my window right now at them working, and they're all wearing trench coats and nothing else, but they're all at their computer screen, and they're going through all these movies and TV shows. Like, Mark, what's funny about Mark is, he knows weird shows that I didn't think
those aren't all that,
he,
that weird.
He knows the actresses from the show. I'm very impressed.
Well, I'll throw another one out that I know Drew likes too, and because she was in the Andrew Cunanan story, it was Penelope Cruz, who played Donatella Versace, which is hilarious.
Yeah, well,
has she been nude in a bunch of stuff?
Oh, yeah. She's in the Mr. Skin Hall of Fame.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's, as you imagine, a big honor.
Of course.
What's cool about her, she's obviously from Spain. Before she hit it big here, she did these Spanish movies. Like, one is called Jamon Jamon. Where she must
that means ham ham.
Yeah, it's about ham, right. And she's 18 or 19 years old and just looks, if you think she looks good now,
imagine back in
92. She's probably been naked 13, 14 times in her career and some really good stuff.
I think she's been enhanced since then.
Well, she might have had a lift or something.
I'm not complaining.
Those are real.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm. I'm surprised she's not, because I'm looking at trending celebs on MrSkin.com, and I don't see her on there. And I've always thought she was so hot, but Lisa Luscious, Alexandra Daddario, Scarlett Johansson is third. How was Juliette Lewis fourth?
Oh, she's in something
because
new.
Because camping, because that show Camping's out, and we just showed her full frontal on there, and a lot of people clicked on it, so she got a bump.
Does Scientology allow that?
A bump.
Her user boobs.
Scientologist? I didn't even know.
Yeah, and so is Elizabeth Moss from
Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale.
There's a top 10 list for you.
Do you get a lot? Yeah, the top 10 Scientologists. Do you get a lot of people asking about Elizabeth Moss?
No, she's pretty popular. We'd call that Scientologist. By the way, Elizabeth Moss is always, you know, a pretty well-searched actress because she's in a lot of things. I mean, it's funny, when you saw her on Mad Men, she never really did much. And then all of a sudden now she's on all these things getting naked.
What's her best nude?
Well, The Handmaid's Tale is good, but Top of the Lake was a Jane Campion miniseries. That she went full frontal. You might want to check that out.
I'm going there.
You know, Skin is.
I would never make a guy sit through a Jane Campion endeavor, but for the Elizabeth Moss nudity, it was worth it.
Skin, you're so positive about nudity, and I totally get that. And I think it's a good thing.
You have to be
in all ways.
Bread and butter.
But I'm going to say this: Anne Hathaway, number 8 on trending celeb. I don't get it.
Well. It just means that for this week, she searched a lot for some reason. Listen, she's an A-list actress. I mean,
I know.
But it's almost like she's forcing it on people.
I like that Drew goes down the list of most searched at our website.
Who else is on there?
This is just that millions of people come to our website, and maybe Anne Hathaway was in the news for some reason. Here's one, that Alyssa Milano always being in our top five.
Oh, yeah. She's 7.
Did she go up after the Kavanaugh hearings?
Probably.
Well, no, you know why? Because we just had Halloween and we did a lot of Embrace of the Vampire, you know, because we were doing like our best horror movie nudes and stuff. That's why.
Plus she was
you
in gotta, Charmed.
You got to understand there's circumstances that push these actresses high on the list that isn't always for reasons you would think.
Can you think of a weird circumstance and you were surprised to see such a pop from someone?
Well, like if someone does something, like for instance, like let's say Stacey Dash, you guys know.
Yeah.
Who she is.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's weird because she's a black actress and is a Republican, which is like drives people nuts, you know. And she's in the news a lot, and she'll do some crazy thing, and all of a sudden I'll notice her, you know, searched high, and people don't know she did. An amazing nude scene in 1995 in a movie called Illegal in Blue. And what's significant about that is this is right around the time that Clueless came out when she really became famous. But she's on my all-nip team for having fantastic nip. And you can see him in Illegal in Blue. Farrah Fawcett, of course, is the ringleader. But
really? Over Mila?
She's hitting cleanup.
Over Mila Jovovich?
I'll go look at Farrah Fawcett's nip, and you will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they really are.
Oh man,
something.
I'm gonna argue.
No,
that
but
one.
Mila Jovovich is on my all nip tastic team, so I'm not shortchanging.
She's the alternate captain.
Wow. Well, Skin, listen, it's great to be back in touch in all that moving process and this new phone. We really haven't had you on in a long time. We got to move on, but and appreciate hearing from you too. When Mike passed, you were one of the first people to check in from afar.
No, and I got to say, I was blown away how much I saw all the publicity, or, you know, all the write-ups all over the internet. Even Howard Stern talking about it was so cool. As sad as it was cool to see all those mentions and everything else.
It was like the show was number one all over again, and
Yeah,
locally it was crazy, and then having guys like you check in. And
liked your site a lot.
Oh, he did.
We spent a lot of time off here.
I had so many laughs here. He would make me laugh so much. I could be super pervy on your show, and he loved it, man.
Yes, he was a big fan. And actually, I think he was heavily involved in the initial contact, too, as I recall, because he was real busy online at that time. So
yeah, he might have been the one that reached out initially. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Ken. I'm glad things are working out at the new location, and we'll be looking forward.
Yeah, it's great to be back, and now I have a phone that works. We could do this more, and I'll see you Thanksgiving at the Lions Bears game.
Yes. Ooh. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Sounds good, awesome. Skin.
All right. Take care, guys.
We'll see ya.
See ya.
Bye, Trudy. Bye, Mark.
Bye, Skin.
MrSkin.com.
Adam Carolla is doing the foreword for his book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know why Adam got that honor.
Were you interviewed for the book?
I was not interviewed for the book.
Well, do you suppose
they're going to be a mention in the book?
I don't know. I was going to ask him if there's an index. But he won't be a dick.
It is all about you, sweetheart.
I think there's a lot of radio in his story. I expect we'll get a mention.
Yeah. And I think he was on Brandmeier's show, wasn't he? Before
Steve Dahl.
Dahl, okay. Yeah. I knew he was on a Chicago show right before we had him.
But not many. And no. Michigan was the number one state for a long time. Much longer than
I love it.
We'll get to Eli in a second, but first I know he won't mind me saying satisfied patients who went to Dr. Yaldo continue to tout their new lifestyle, like Dana. Not having to put contacts in at 5 a.m. when I'm going to work out is a huge bonus. Done with that garbage. And yes, Dana works out at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
A lot of response yesterday, by the
way. Oh, really?
Superwoman that
had I want to hear every single
schedule.
One.
Oh, my God. Jenny says the Aldo Eye Center was so flexible with my payment that if I didn't have cash the day it was due, I just called their office and adjusted for me. That's interesting. Rob writes, naturally, I was nervous about the procedure, but Dr. Yaldo is such a professional and leaves no room for error with the CAT system. 2015 vision is beyond belief. Bottom line is a custom LASIK or multifocal implants that my sister just got are life-changing. To be free of glasses, reading glasses, and contacts and see better than you have in decades is a modern medical miracle. And Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's most honored and experienced eye surgeon. So do this. Call for a free evaluation and decide later. Maybe you just need a new prescription or new glasses and can decide on surgery at another time. And they have frames right there. I never dreamed. Eye exams are covered by conventional insurance. Call 1-800-398-EYES. 1-800-398-EYES or go to the Aldo Eye Center.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And let's see. Okay. Before we start with Eli, though, I should mention the Drew and Mike podcast. If you want to support us, support our sponsors, like our studio sponsor and good friends, DealsInTheD.com and the entire Zot Auto Group. Want to give you a couple more reasons to support our sponsors while supporting the podcast. Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Toyota make buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV fun, exciting, and hassle-free. Plus, they have massive inventories full of the hottest models, and they're all ready for immediate delivery. Zot Auto has the lowest prices, lowest payments, and best interest rates, player day, period. So head to any of the Zot dealerships, pick your next vehicle, and have fun doing it. Don't forget to tell them that Drew, Mark, Maz, Trudy, and Brandon sent you. Finally, if you're too old, fat, and lazy to get off the couch, head over to DealsInTheD.com and surf their sensational deals and massive inventory right now. And I, there's Player Dave.
Hey, can I tell you about a bad experience I had yesterday? I want to get your opinion on it.
What happened?
You know, we talk a lot with all your clients about customer service and how from Luke Nowicki to... David
Are you
Hall.
Okay?
It's all about and from the Starlink customer service. Well, yesterday I go to my doctor, and I know my doctor. I like to deal with people that I know in business when I can. I got a 10:40 appointment. I get there at 10:40, fill out all the BS paperwork now and everything.
Yeah, they act like they don't know you.
Yeah. I've been
all over again.
Right. I made it right. And two women behind the glass never smile. They're both obese, which is off the subject, but not only are they not good looking.
Now, wait a sec. I think that's on the subject. They're working at a doctor's office. That's like going to a bald barber.
But that's not the thrust of the story. I agree with you. So no welcome. No, it's good to see you again. I'm glad you're here for procedure A, B, whatever it is. So it's 10:40. It gets to be 11, and I'm getting really pissed off. Because, first of all, they got Channel 4 up there, and no knock on Channel 4, but Kathy Lee Gifford drives me crazy. And she's blaring out of the TV. Then why do these people need to listen to it this loud? They're not watching. Shh, turn the fucking thing off so I can at least play words with friends and think for a second.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So I go up there at 11. I go, it's been 20 minutes. I have a day that I have to get through. How long do you think it will be?
Oh, you're going
to
yell that.
How do you think it will be? She's, it should be shortly. I go, please define shortly for me. So she says, so 10 minutes
they never,
later.
They
go,
never do that.
So 10 minutes later, I go back and say, when I need to know what's going on. So would you please go ask the doctor when it will be? You'd think I asked her to hike to the top of Mount Everest. She struggles out of the chair, walks to the back, comes back and says, it could be as many as 10 minutes. Well, 10 minutes later, I leave. So I then...
Oh, they can charge you for the appointment?
Of course.
I don't know about that. I don't know. In fact, that would be a further outrage. I didn't even think about it. In fact, I thought one of the reasons you get such shit treatment is because people pay for their insurance. I said to the, I complained to the doctor later, as my friend said, this is the worst customer experience I've had, and it's bullshit, and I should, and why do you people do it this way? How many patients did you have? Blah. So they overbook, so they
overbook,
churn,
yeah,
so
they
can
do.
Churn. So this morning, the office manager calls me to try and make amends, and I explain all the things to her, and I said, you know, if you
I'm surprised the office manager called, honestly.
Well, because I know the doctor. I said, one of the reasons I go to him is, you know, so nobody ever came out and explained. No, you know, you go into a clothing store. How are you? Good to see you. You know, what can we help you with today? What are you looking for? And if you need anything, come back. So nothing, not a smile, nothing. And I go, how can they get away with this? How can every business in America has got to serve the customer and tout customer service, and doctors just don't give a shit. I think, is it the God complex?
I think
that you're so lucky to be able to see them?
It is part of the God complex, but it's also, I think, because we are used to it, we expect it. Yeah. They've gotten away with it for so long. Like the airlines.
Yeah.
Look what the airlines do to us.
You expect to get treated like shit, so what's the big deal?
Right. Well, plus, if you go to another airline, they'll treat you like shit, and you go to another, there's no doctor saying, you will always be treated at your appointed time. There's no doctor saying that. You think it'd be one guy going, hey, everybody's always late with
plus
patients.
You have to
I said
go.
To her, I'm an adult. I have a day.
I'm an adult.
I have a day. Not only that,
but I'm a man. I'm 40.
I had to get blood taken for just for a cholesterol thing to follow up. If she looked and knew why I was there, she goes, oh, well, you know, the doctor is busy now, but you can give the blood or, you know, now and he can see you later. So no accommodation. They didn't know what I was there for. They just didn't give a shit.
You're going to have to check your blood pressure now.
This is business as usual. And I'm thinking, is there any other business where they can treat you like crap and get away with it and make it expected?
The airlines.
The other thing I thought.
Yeah, because you got, yeah. I mean, because I always go, oh, I'll never fly. And it's like, well, if they're flying the route,
and I have
to make a stop with
it.
No, it's a lie. I will go.
It was awful last time, but maybe it'll be on time this time. So here's another, Trudy, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Women like to go to the doctor. They'll go to the doctor's five.
We do.
I believe women like to go to the doctor a lot.
Oh, okay.
They got all kinds of doctors.
God, I'm not a woman then.
And is it because women put up with this? They're not supposed to complain? But I can't believe God. And another, the lies were further because she also said, you'll be the next one, and I wasn't the next one. And so she lied to me by going back and saying, it could be 10 minutes. So who did she ask? Did she ask you? No, she didn't ask me. So she made up the 10 minutes. So not only do they treat you like shit, they lie to you too.
Well, I think we're more just mortified at the idea of making, you know, that kind of a scene, possibly thinking, okay, we're going to have to go eventually. So, but I had a doctor's office. I had an appointment set up to go see him. They called me the day before and they said, oh, your insurance doesn't work. And I called and I was like, well, did you call them? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, well, what happened? And they're like, you called them. And I was like, wait a minute. You guys know the ropes of calling insurance. There's a special number for you.
Yeah.
And I called the insurance company just to humor them, and they were like, no, you're absolutely, you know.
Wait, how did they already know your insurance didn't work? You haven't been in there yet.
Just,
so they're busy checking your insurance, wasting time checking your insurance,
BS.
By the way.
It was just BS. They fucked up, dialed the wrong number, had me in a wrong file or whatever. But the insurance company were like, absolutely, yeah, you're a subscriber. You know, everything's cool.
Ugh.
And when I called them back and told them that, they're like, well, we have to get you to pay up front anyway because they couldn't find the insurance information that existed. So they really do not care.
They don't care.
And so I called the following day, the day I was supposed to go. I was like, I'm not coming. And I don't like being treated that way, but I've been coming here for 20 years. But
I had a crazy
sorry.
A root canal, and it was a factory. I mean, it was so fast. The root canal was like, is it really done right?
My teeth were so messed up.
And I've had a few root canals, and actually it turned out two of them were bad, which is, I mean, the idea of getting a root canal, and it didn't work.
Why can't they warranty those things?
No, they don't. Great. They don't.
Just look at those gnarly, massive chompers.
So you know, they won't warranty them because someone will destroy it like some people destroy livers the second time through.
Right.
But the point was, they were obsessed with my insurance. And I said, I was referred by my regular dentist, and they have all my insurance stuff. And I'm not even sure this is covered. The limit's like $1,000 or something. I said, I'll give you my credit card. I'll pay you up front. What's the big deal? I don't know. They were just obsessed with they just were really upset about it. It's like, what is the big deal? But they're just so, it's all about, you know, if you better pay or you got to pay or somebody better pay or, you know, and of course they want your insurance. Once your insurance is in the system, it's like,
So I was so pissed. I left and I'm at another doctor's office, just a buddy of mine for something else. And they called me. And they said, the lady said, I heard you left. I said, yeah, it's been an hour.
Word gets around.
Because I know the doctor. And I gave the lady who wouldn't smile at me, here's my card. Tell doctor, not going to mention the name, to call me later. I'm a personal friend, and I want to tell him what happened to me here today.
Ooh.
So the office manager calls me this morning, says, those are really good ideas. I said, maybe you should have somebody greet the people that come in. I'm glad to see you. You're here for your colonoscopy today. That's great. But
sounds silly, but that does miles, yeah, man.
Is it because the insurance thing? Because people go in there and they think, well, I'm not paying for it. I just have a card. So it isn't like when I go into a store, how much I have to pay for that? They got to kind of woo you to pay. And maybe it's because they've already got your money. They feel that they don't have to.
We know what a business it is. It's not like they're not making shit tons of money. So why should it be any different?
To that point, why isn't it like a restaurant where they're moving people in and out and seeing more people?
Well, they are, but a restaurant doesn't overbook the place so that they got 20 people waiting for a table for an hour and a half.
Why does it take forever to go to the doctor?
Because they don't. Because they overbook because they don't care. They say people for years have sat there for hours and they don't bitch. Well, so she calls me an hour later and says, can you come here at 1 o'clock? I go, it's 20 to 12. I said, no, I haven't eaten all day. I can come now. Well, you can't come now. He's in with another patient.
I love that you made it about you.
It is about him.
But check this out. I said, oh, in other words, the patient who was scheduled after me. She says, no, it's the patient who was scheduled before you.
Oh, my God.
No, I'd still be sitting there. So and this is a guy I know. Anyway.
And that reminds me, open enrollment started.
That's right.
I'm glad.
You know, it's interesting. There is like a company that's trying to fix this or at least do a different thing with insurance. It's that Oscar, which is Jared Kushner's brother, started it years ago. And
what are they trying to do differently?
They're trying to make it easier. I'm doing air quotes there. Wait, one of the ways is that they have a 24/7 doctor, nurse, like teleconference, so you don't have to go into the doctor's office for something small.
I think that's crap, though. They can't really ever tell you anything.
Probably not, but they can tell you, oh, God, you're gross. Get in there now. Or suck it up, sweetheart. You'll be fine. Just take some medicine, which saves you a lot of time. Sure. And it's free. It's free under their care instead of just going in and paying a copay.
Well, there's some things they can probably prescribe without going in.
Exactly. Well, that's the other part of it.
Churn the fees by not seeing you. That's why the dentist.
Well, yeah, exactly.
The dentist open your mouth and he takes a little mirror in there. He looks for 4 seconds. That's the exam that he charged another $60 for.
Well, sure, but if you can see more people, like with a teleconference, and you have less overhead, you're going to make
maybe
more
they
money.
They charge you a little less. With my eyes, you know, I'm always running out of contacts, and so I always call and I say, "Can I get some more contacts?" And I go, you haven't seen the doctor.
That's
bullshit. It's been 17 months. And I say, but my glasses are fine. I just need the same script I have. And they're like, you got to see him. And I'm like, I only see out of these eyes every minute. I know these eyes.
Order those online.
They'll work. I'll pay double for them. No. They want that appointment. And I like those people. Those people are really nice there. They're very sweet. They greet you. And
Throwing money at it work better?
I know, you'd think, but, you know, if they start letting people get away without having appointments, oh, no. So, Eli, it's been an interesting week of sports, and, you know, we did talk about Matt Patricia. I can't figure out, you know, maybe we've nailed it on the head, but this whole thing of antagonizing a reporter over his posture is so weird. I'm trying to remember, has this ever happened?
No, I never saw that, you know, The guy's slouching there. He's got, okay, first of all, this guy's named Michael Rothstein. His job is to cover the Lions every day. How many times has he sat there?
Work for?
ESPN.
ESPN.
Oh, ESPN. That's right.
How many times has he heard Matt Patricia and Matt Stafford? Patricia. Is it both?
Yeah, Matt Patricia and Stafford.
Stafford. Mm-hmm.
Bore him to death saying nothing.
Yeah.
And so you got to get a story out of something. So for the other writers, like from the news, oh, he's bitching out the reporter. Instead of talking about football, it's something different, and they make a story out of that.
Oh, because, distraction.
Yeah, yeah, it's just something different than
so they don't talk about Golden Tate.
Well, maybe so. But Patricia, how is he going to criticize anybody's posture when he's got a 59-inch waist and a pencil behind his ear and his hat backwards?
Well, he's 3-4. He's right. Not performing terribly well. I don't know what's expected of him. I'm sure he has a grace period, but I just wouldn't. I don't know what the point was.
I don't either. But the whole thing is to me, it's the disconnect with the fans. The fans would like to see Golden Tate here, but the fans don't call the shots. And so I agree with him. He's looking at the long-range picture. Just like the Tigers said, we're not going to win this year. Let's sell all the good players, get some young guys into the cost less.
Did the Lions say that, though? Because a week ago, the big news is, we're all in. We got this guy for a fifth-round pick.
Mm-hmm. That's before you laid an egg against Seattle.
That egg meant that much?
Game.
Did it?
They're a game out in the Central.
Well, listen, I don't know what their long-range picture is. I think they felt that they can do more with a third-round draft choice. They're not going to win this year. Well, they're not going to win this year.
I want to know where to go.
I think you're right. I think they were like, oh, my God, a third-round pick, we'll take it.
So, and
I guess I want to know, when are they planning to win?
It's only been 62 years. I would guess within the next 38 to get us to 100. I don't know. Sometime in there. But no, he's here to try and build a team. He doesn't care when he wins, if he can win one.
This is his third year.
Are you talking about Tate? You're talking about Tate.
I'm talking about the GM.
Yeah,
Quinn.
Yeah,
right.
It's his
Quinn.
Third year.
Right. Yeah. First year with Patricia. So
how many years does it take to build a team that can do it? I mean, they weren't far off. They were, you know, with.
They were 9-7, weren't they?
Well, the last coach was 36-28. They were a decent team. I mean, they were a decent team before Quinn got here. And yeah, he's been here 2 years.
Why they felt they couldn't win this year, I don't know, because if they beat the Vikings on Sunday, they're 4-4. The Vikings are 4-3-1.
I did see someone point out, though, that, you know, Tate's best game was against the Cowboys, and they lost. So how much does a receiver really matter? I think that's a little short-sighted. That's one game.
And of course, the fact that fans like him's got nothing. The fact he's most exciting player of the team's got nothing to do with it.
That's why I don't like it, because I like watching him.
I do.
Period.
Exactly.
I know it might be good for, you know, a third round pick.
There's nobody more exciting with the ball in his hands than Golden Tate.
It makes sense on paper, but when I watch it on Sunday, I'm bummed he's not out there.
His yards after the catch too.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a little bit special. Not, you know, a complete game changer. Matt Stafford sure likes him.
Look at the season, though. They start out, they get blown out by the Jets. So you start out, after one day, we show this up, people are kicking their TVs, they're breaking furniture. You know, the coach sucks, he worked the players too hard. They're not playing for, they've already quit on him.
They hate him,
it's awful. Then they beat the Patriots. Yeah, my God, you know, he's real. We're going all the way. It's such a great game, we beat Brady. And then they get to Sunday, and they play like shit again. So now
terrible.
Everybody's in the toilet again. But the fans are on this ride that leads nowhere except up and down and up and down.
It's the NFL, man. Everybody's mediocre.
But the Lions, they're never the 13-win team.
That's right. Some teams
they're never
the
team in the finals, in the playoffs. They're never the team in the Super Bowl.
At least we got the Pistons now, right?
Yeah, what's the Pistons' record?
I think they're 4-3. Oh. They're 4-3 now.
I know this may be a little nerdy, but did you see what happened last night to him?
I didn't.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
The great Spencer Dinwiddie.
Remember we drafted Spencer Dinwiddie?
Yeah.
He scored like 13 points in the fourth
Who's
quarter.
Who's that dude?
Exactly.
Against us.
Yeah, and beat us.
I saw Derrick Rose had 50 points.
Yeah,
because Butler
Where'd
sat.
That come from? I thought he was done.
Yeah, well, he's fought injuries for about 5 or 6 years, but... get a game.
Well.
For now. Anyway, so let's do this then, okay? Where this is our Star Lincoln feature. What I'd like to do is, you know, I really enjoyed, was it last weekend's game? The Seattle game, we had two color commentators. There was Rondé Barber and Chris Spielman. And I love Spielman.
Rondé's terrible, though.
He is terrible, isn't he?
Why do you need anyone if Spielman's there?
I don't know why they had a second. But both Barbers
are... Is that common to have two color guys?
No. For locally, I've never seen it. That's why I couldn't figure out who the other voice was. Why is there two? And Spielman has just gotten so
good. I know, he is so good.
He's the ultimate gritty character guy.
And he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He's fun.
And I covered him all those years. And I said to this when I did this interview last summer, I said, you know, you probably don't realize this, but when the Lions lost, we came to you right away. The other guys, you were the guy that said, every guy's got to look in the mirror. This team has got to decide what they're here for. We got to be men. He would give just this incredible, I'm so pissed off at myself and this team. It was the best interview. I said, but when you won, we went to the other guys first because you weren't nearly.
His intensity was second to none. Yeah. I read his book, and I was amazed at the little things he did to challenge himself and practice. And he's just I just love him to death.
Right.
One of my favorites.
In fact, he said, I went to every practice as if I didn't have a great practice, they were going to cut me because I wasn't good enough.
Wow.
So just
that's how I approach every show.
I know. Amen.
So anyway, I picked this one. And by the way, I did this on a radio station last year. And since nobody heard it, I figured we'd play it on your show. So we'll get the exposure it deserved for a very good interview. And the reason I bring it up now is because, there have been guys that have had little torn muscles and they missed half a season or season. So this is his last year with the Lions. This is the first game in 1995, and this will show you how tough Chris Spielman is.
WJR presents
Drew Mike Show.
Classics with Eli Zarrett. Brought to you by Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln, luxury cars legendary dealership. After each Lions game, listen for the Star Lincoln star of the game.
Sam Morris looking for a seam on the right side, won't find it. Good tackle made along the line by Chris Spielman.
It's the 95 season opener at Pittsburgh.
It happened in the first quarter of the first game, and I knew something was wrong.
Pigram to the 20, hurdles down to about the 17 before Chris Spielman.
In his 7 years as Lions middle linebacker, Spielman had missed only 4 games.
My chest was in spasm, and my arm was up in the air, and I couldn't get it down. And so I had Mark Spindler punch my arm down after every play.
Hand off, whoa. Bam Morris, and Bam is Bam to the ground. Chris Spielman in for the middle linebacker spot.
Spielman's right pectoral muscle had been torn from his rib cage.
There was a code that I lived by when I played. And I don't know if it was the smartest code, but it was my code.
More in a moment. Eli Zarrett here for Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln, Detroit's premier dealer of Detroit's original luxury brand. Hoot's family carries on Lincoln's and Hoot's legacy as a Detroit auto icon with a beautifully remodeled showroom, and it all falls in line with Lincoln voted number one in the J.D. Power Customer Service Index. Come see the new Continental, the MKZ sedan, and Lincoln's full line of SUVs, and get the renowned star treatment at Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln, luxury cars, legendary dealership at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield.
And he is drilled backward to the 47-yard line. Well, again, Spielman.
Having torn his pectoral muscle in game one, Chris Spielman played all 16 games again in 95, again led the Lions in tackles, and made the Pro Bowl.
You know, if I can run full speed, then I was going to find a way to play. So I live to my code and my responsibility to my teammates.
And driven out of bounds at about the 21 by Chris Spielman that time was...
Lions Classics, brought to you by Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln, luxury cars, legendary dealership. After each Lions game, listen for the Star Lincoln star of the game.
For whatever reason, it oozed blood. Yeah. And so Dexter Bussey is in charge of the league and making it's what do you call it?
He's the uniform
protocol,
police.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And so he would have to change his jersey every time he went to the sidelines that year because it was oozing blood. So
don't wear that outfit again.
And so I said to Chris at the end of this interview, we talked for about an hour or so. I go, you know, when you look back, are you proudest of the 7 years leading the team in tackles? Are you proud of the Pro Bowl? He said, you know what I'm most proud of? The fact that I actually played for 10 or whatever, 8 years. He said, when I look back at what I went through, how every practice, every offseason, doing swim moves through the doorways in my house, you know, that I just was there. And when you look at how brutal the game is, and there have been, by the way, the Lions had a guy who had a torn pec, just a slight tear last year, and missed 8 games for it. So
who's that dude?
I forget his name. But anyway, just
Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Who was it? Wow. No, he's amazing. I love him. We got to get him on too.
Yeah.
Okay. Before you go, I want to ask this question. Chris Webber is a captain for the football game Saturday. I have no idea why Jim Harbaugh wanted to do that, but in light of Jim Harbaugh telling the UM cult that, of course, they'll cheer for Chris Webber. He's a great player, whatever. I mean, the point to me
that's
seemed
ridiculous.
To be, I don't want to hear any fucking boos. How? What do you think will be the percentage of people booing Chris Webber on Saturday? Because I don't think he's earned one cheer, and the more I read about it, the more pissed I get.
I think fans forgive. I think they don't care. You know, when
you're in church like that too.
When David Miscavige tells you to cheer, you cheer.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Harbaugh. Sorry.
Is he a Scientologist, Harbaugh?
Yes, he's a
Scientologist. He is?
No, he's saying we're in a cult.
I'm saying Michigan is a cult.
And this is a bad analogy, but Donald Trump's fans don't care about Stormy Daniels. They don't care about the lies and stuff. They like the guy.
So Michigan equals Trump?
No, but I'm saying Chris Webber equals Trump in terms of the faithful loving him regardless of the fact that he did the stupidest thing anybody has in a situation has ever done. All he had to do was tell the truth. If he had said on the witness stand, you know, I was poor, our porch was falling apart, we had termites in the house, my dad got laid off, we had no money, there's guys in the stands wearing $80 jerseys, they're making millions of dollars, the NCAA pays them $1 billion for this and that, and we needed to eat. And the guy offered me the money, and I took the money. I guess blame me, I was naive, but we were poor. If he had done that instead of lied about it, he would have been forgiven. But he was too arrogant, and it's terrible what happened. They took all those banners down and everything. Terrible.
I was thinking about your question, Drew. And when they've done the honorary captains before, they come out with other people too.
Oh, okay.
So it's not going to be just him. It might be the regular captains, or it might be somebody else as well. So if it's just him,
I would boo him. I really would.
Well, I'm not going to boo
him. I don't
think
he's done anything to deserve a cheer.
I'm just going to sit there and shake my head in disapproval.
I'm very curious to hear. I mean, I guess he's a bigger name than Jalen Rose then, right? They could have had Jalen come out there.
No. Why not?
Jalen's a good dude.
Beeline.
That's right.
There's a story about Beeline hopes to meet with him. What do you mean hopes to? In other words, he's hoping Chris Webber will give him 10 minutes. Why should John Beeline have to kiss his ass? I think that's just bullshit. And then Weber keeps suggesting in the story that was 2 days ago that this needs to happen organically and conversations need to be. No, you need to just apologize. That's all. Nothing else needs to happen, does it?
He can't. Exactly. He won't do it. He can't do it. He can't get himself to do it.
That's right. Yeah. Apologize.
Well, I'll be there. So I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be there, too.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'm going.
Oh, you got to come to our tailgate party.
I will. Yeah. Really?
It's very close.
You don't have to buy food for all my buddies on Saturday? And go
we'll
to
buy
your
food.
Party?
How many buddies you got?
15.
I got three of my college classmates. If
you
got
to come, yeah.
Hey, we'll feed you. Looking for a party?
Where's your party?
I'll tell you off the
air. Okay, all right.
It's a great party. You'll love it.
It's supposed to be a nice day if the game was today.
Yeah. I think I
would have eaten $600 worth of tickets if the game was today.
Is it supposed to be nicer than this? It's
supposed to be perfect.
Oh, really?
It's going to be cold, but 50, yeah.
50 degrees, middle of the day.
Sunny?
Be nice.
Is it rain? I'm so tired of rain.
It's not going to rain.
Okay.
You heard it from Eli.
All right. Okay. See you guys.
Thanks, Eli.
Thanks for letting me whine about the doctor today.
No, I think it relates.
This is the place for that sort of thing. Absolutely. Meanwhile, let's think about our friends at Adam. If you're facing divorce or custody issues, you need ADAM, the American Divorce Association for Men. They've been protecting men's rights in divorce and custody matters for nearly 30 years. Visit them on the web. Read some of the reviews from satisfied clients with phrases like professional, accessible, responsive attorneys. They put me at ease and really cared about my case. They saved me from losing everything I had worked for. Oh, call ADAM. Let them educate and guide you through this difficult process. Call ADAM at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. Or on the web at adamdivorcelaw.com. And then Luke Nowacki, of course, he's watching your money. He's watching some of mine, too. And he wants you to know there's no time like the present to review your plan for retirement or make sure you're on track, whether it's saving for your child's college education, saving for your future, putting something aside for emergencies. That's what a lot of people don't do. And then one thing comes up and, oh, my God, we got to sell the house. We can't afford
don't
to fix this.
Girly man.
Yeah, you got to think about this stuff, and he'd love to help you. It might take a lifestyle change.
Does he help with the health insurance stuff? Does he sign people up, do you know?
You mean for open enrollment?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a great...
Sorry, I'm just thinking
Luke?
About myself.
I mean, if you...
A lot of financial planners. He deals in insurance, doesn't he, too?
I've never talked about insurance with Luke.
I've actually been fantasizing about someone who would do that for the longest time.
Well, we'll find out. That's a good question. He does, you know, he set up 401ks for people since we've started doing this. He's got, I think, two corporations or companies, and they're not even that big. He set up 401k plans, so he does a lot of stuff. That's a good question. You don't want to look back years from now and wish that time travel speed was possible. The sooner you get on this, and I know this is such an easy thing to put off, and I would talk about 401k choices. You get these investment choices, and you forget about them for 15 years. You look at the state, maybe there's something else you'd rather be in, or maybe you picked something that is no longer fashionable. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 to get started on the path to retirement. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Signatory Investors Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor, 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 48034, 248-663-4700. So I'm about ready for political ads to be over, although
so entertaining.
They can be kind of funny, too.
Oh, the best political story of the day is you see the unveiling of the Karen Spranger lawsuit.
No, I did not.
Oh, my gosh. What? She is just full of ideas. I think I'm back on Team Spranger. So there is an issue
She's done, though. I mean, she's still out.
I know, unfortunately.
Or she's suing or whatever.
This could get her back, though. This could get her back.
Oh, good. Okay.
So remember how she did not want to move to that new building?
Yes.
One of the reasons she did not want to move to the new building is she felt that there was not enough shitters for the office staff.
Oh.
How many shitters do they need?
Well, good for her.
Well, apparently she's used to shutting them down, Trudy. So one of the guys that was giving a deposition was the Chief Deputy County Executive Mark Delden. He testified that Spranger decided there were not enough bathrooms. She wanted more for the employees. He told her the plans were already drawn up months ago. It's not going to happen. We can't just add bathrooms. And she did have, so they're asking, did she understand what was going on or did she demand there was a change? I believe she understood it wasn't going to happen because it was a cost issue. I do believe that because she said to me, what if I can show you or tell you a way we can add bathrooms with no cost?
She said that?
And you know what? Having been involved in building facility construction most of my career, I kind of smiled and just said, I'd love to hear that one. That was his response to her. And she said, she's going to give me a business card, which I did not take, of someone that she knew could come in and talk to me about providing toilets in rooms where she wanted them with just a hole in the ground, and you place fecal-eating worms inside of the
genius,
hole.
Genius, genius, genius!
No plumbing, and that's how you get more bathrooms. And then the guy asking him goes, she actually used the phrase, fecal-eating worms, yes! He interjected.
Oh, your house smells like feces then.
She wanted to put new toilets in with no plumbing, just with fecal-eating worms.
She lived in a home with no plumbing.
I know, so with a bunch of raccoons.
Yeah, and it sounded to me like she was a hoarder, but the reason they said she couldn't have lived there was because the home had no plumbing for 5 years, I believe.
I got worms.
Not to mention no one had seen her in and out of the house in all that time, but maybe she did live in homes with no plumbing.
This
who knows?
This is an elected official.
I know. Making $108,000 a year.
It was revealed she chose to run as a Republican because she closed her eyes, set a prayer, and flipped a coin.
Wow. Well.
Let's see. I like this one, too. This one's kind of buried in the story. County Corporation Counsel John Schapta testified in his deposition that Spranger once canceled a 10 a.m. meeting, then walked into his office at 10:01 to discuss the meeting she said she couldn't be at. He testified that she stayed for an hour, talked about everything under the sun, including that she was born either 11 months or 13 months after her next older sister because, quote, her father insisted on exercising his husbandly rights.
Good God.
They were also
what a
asked,
deposition.
They were also asked if they heard that Spranger dressed up in disguise pretending to be her predecessor as clerk, Carmela Sabal, at a January 2017 conference. He said they had not heard it, while Schapka said he heard about it probably a year later from another employee. When asked in her deposition whether she attempted to disguise herself as her predecessor at the conference, she replied, I was wearing a wig to figure out if I wanted to cut my hair or not. She basically did admit that she was wearing
genius,
a disguise.
Genius, genius.
According to her transcript, Spranger was more than an hour late for her deposition. She said she had another commitment, and by the time I got the actual directions, I got lost.
Wow.
Well, isn't it amazing how these idiots, an idiot like this could be elected? Elected.
Because
no one knows who they are.
Who's running
for
clerk?
It's like the judge that won. Because she campaigned in her church.
Yeah.
So her church all just voted for her. And then as soon as she wins, Rob Walchek did the great story on her. By the way, contact Rob.
Jesus is my doctor.
There she is.
Yeah.
She can't sing for shit.
And that judge that got the DUI had a plea, by the way.
Yeah, she got a break.
Yeah, big break.
But she not only didn't show up the first week, she asked for the first week off to go visit a dude in Germany.
Nice.
And when they said no, she just didn't show up and didn't show up and didn't show up. I think it went on for 2 months or so. And then Rob did his, he didn't even put her in the Hall of Shame. I never did understand why Rob didn't put her in the Hall of Shame.
And there she goes, speeding by and not stopping.
Yeah, that was when he and Fox 2 were in front of her house, and she wouldn't stop, and then she called the police.
No.
So, nice use of resources, too.
The chief judge says that's baloney.
Wait. Yeah,
she's a piece of work.
She want to go see a guy in Germany to hook up with him?
The first week
and give him
of her job.
Staph infection?
Well, yeah, that's right. She would have been spreading her staph infection all over the plane, all over Germany.
All over that dude.
Where it was. Yeah, all that.
Excuse me. I had a surgery. I have a wound infection and an open wound. So if you want staph infection, all over the courthouse.
Ew.
Ooh, thanks for offering.
Well,
gross.
The commercials, while entertaining, you know, there's one running now where one of the candidates says, is it country before...
Party.
Yeah,
it's party before country.
She said party before country by accident. Her opponent immediately took that and put it in a commercial suggesting that she said it, that was what she meant to say, which is a lie. Well, it isn't a lie, I guess, because she did say it. But, you know, it's just, you look at these commercials and you go, really? You're supposed to vote for either of these people?
Well, XYZ, I think, is doing a special debunking some of the worst of these tonight.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, which will be...
At 11?
Yeah.
Okay, I record them at 11. Who's doing that story?
I thought it was Ross Jones. Is he still around?
Yeah, Ross is around. Yeah. Ross is back. Ross left and came back, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. Mm-hmm.
The ads are terrible. It's the shit in the mail that pisses me off, because my mail is just one big pile of ads. And then I think you guys talked about it. I've just been getting just destroyed on my cell phone, mainly by just one candidate, which I don't understand why. And
he doesn't respect your privacy.
And you know what? I might have voted for that person, but I can't anymore because I asked nicely and my phone keeps blowing up.
Yeah, I don't understand how is it that it became okay to just harangue people on cell phone?
Because they make the laws.
I don't, you know. It's
okay
it's
if they do it, it's not okay if telemarketers.
But how are they getting our cell phone numbers?
I don't know. I probably pissed off some
signed up
people
for something
and
they bought it.
Yeah. You know.
Well, it's just such scumbaggery to be elected for something that we're supposed to trust them. We're supposed to have the public trust, and they can't be trusted to even run. You know. Just,
every time I hear that piece of audio from that judge about staph infection all over the courtroom.
Wound infection.
I just always think of this movie clip.
Make it to the bathroom before I lose my powers all over myself.
I don't know why. I don't know why it reminded me of that Big Mama's House scene.
There was probably one or two of those.
It's a very underrated movie, Big Mama's House.
He's not making those anymore, though, right?
Yeah, why? Where is Martin Lawrence?
I had a surgery. I have a wound infection and an open wound. So if you want staph infection, all over the courthouse.
Oh, it's Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence has something, a comedy tour going on.
All over myself.
Well, can you just make another Big Mama's House?
Where's Martin Lawrence? I mean,
he has a comedy tour. He's emceeing this tour across the United States.
He just kind of came and we did go a little nutso there for a while.
He did.
Doing something crazy in traffic and a couple of things. And then all of a sudden he disappeared.
He was in, it was in LA and he was in a like winter coat, wasn't
he? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, there was that. And this Brandon, you got a phone number for the guy that dumped a porta potty of feces.
What?
Into some guy's driveway. He was mad because the contractor had not removed the porta potty on time, so he dumped it in the guy's driveway.
Yeah. Wow.
That's in Brandon's prep today.
Clark should have done that with the neighbor's porta potty.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how mad he was, how long that stayed out there?
It was there for so long. Yeah, I think he actually used it at one point. He just became such a curiosity, he stopped and actually used it.
But, you know, the thing is about this story is this dude only got fined $100. It's only $100 to drop a huge...
Well, that seems like it's worth it.
Almost, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, easily. If you pay somebody else to do it, pay somebody $100 to do it, somebody will do anything for $100. Then it's $200 to dump a porta potty on someone's driveway you're mad at. That's a great deal.
It's also the guy that got
just to send like the turdograms that they used to remember.
Yeah.
That was, such a big novel idea for a while.
Yeah, that was very popular for. Yeah. It seems like it always comes back to. I'm expecting someone else to. Matthew Moore is his name.
Yeah,
pretty brilliant idea. But what's the percentage chance, Brandon? Ooh.
I was in such a rush today. I'm going to actually deduct some points off of that.
You did preempt the prep by saying you didn't have much time. It seemed like it was thrown together, which you don't normally admit to that.
It was all stories about either poop or porn.
Okay.
So, and Spranger was in
there.
So
what's the percentage chance?
I'm going to go with 44%. And I apologize, it's under 50. Normally, I don't even like calling if it's under 50.
Is the dildo thrower at the Buffalo Bills game, is he under 40% also?
I really wish we could pre-call these before the show. I apologize. It's my fault.
Jeez.
Right, isn't that dildo thrower from Florida, too?
Yeah.
He is. Huh.
That's weird, because it seems that the New England Patriots' appearance in Buffalo brings a dildo out of the stands every time.
It's a tradition there now.
Yeah.
Hopefully this goes through. This would be Matt.
Matthew Moore.
Hmm. Oh, no! Send him a fax.
Well, it's
he's using dial up right now.
It's better than throwing an open beer at the World Series trophy. You know, possibly a dildo would have been a softer landing. But.
Let's try this dildo.
Why is it so funny when there's a dildo on a football field? I swear I laugh every time. Yeah, it's always the Buffalo Bills, and it's always when the New England Patriots are there. I think one of the hardest I've ever laughed.
This would be Michael if it goes through. What the hell?
Huh? Well. Yellow. Were we trying to FaceTime with him?
What's wrong with that?
Is it a Skype?
Sounds like feedback.
I'm so sorry. Did I have any other numbers that won't work today?
I have one that won't work.
Those are the only two. Who are you calling, Mark?
I have this story here.
We often hear that thieves will take whatever they can get their hands on, but one burglary case in Huntington has truly left the victim and neighbors dumbfounded.
Included in this thief's score was a brand new toilet. News Channel 3's Andrew Colgrove spoke with the owner, who feels this just represents a new low.
Oh, you think?
Saturday, Barry Hyder went to his daughter's wedding. One of the happiest moments of his life was followed by one of the most bizarre when he returned home.
Back door was wide open.
Somebody had climbed into his house along Monroe Avenue in Huntington through his window.
The place was ransacked.
Barry says there'd been a leak in his bathroom, so he'd been planning to remodel it and install a brand new commode, which had been sitting in a box in his living room.
How excited were you to get to have that new toilet in your house?
Well, seeing as our landlord hasn't fixed our toilet and it's never flushed right, and our bathroom floor is literally caving in. I was pretty excited.
The thief stole a TV, phone, and yes, the new toilet.
The toilet? I mean, how desperate are you that you steal a toilet, of all things?
And that is so rude.
Neighbors confused why a thief would stoop to this new low.
I don't understand why somebody would sit up here and steal somebody's toilet. It's very sad for somebody just breaking somebody's house to steal a toilet.
You stole a toilet, because this is a bunch of crap.
Barry just moved here in November, and he says this is the third time his house has been broken into in less than a year. He says this toilet theft is the final straw, and he's already making plans to move away.
This is it. I can't handle any more of the last straw.
Feeling despondent after a crime he never dreamed anyone would be a victim of. Andrew Colgrove, WSAZ News Channel 3, Huntington.
No joke, he has a red shovel on his porch.
Does he?
Yeah. And that house is only slightly worse than this one.
Serious issue.
Oh, no, there's no way. I mean, they have power at least.
Did you see that house?
Probably have Wi-Fi.
Did you see the house?
Yeah, I saw the house.
Serious issue. Shallow thought. Why would you break into that house so many times? You can tell there's nothing to steal there.
I know. And it's not like he took the toilet off the, you know, disconnected the plumbing. What? Is that it?
Yeah, it went right to his voicemail.
Damn him.
It does imply that somehow stealing a toilet is just such a cheap shot. It's almost worse than if he stole $1,000.
But it's misleading. The toilet was new in a box, so they just saw something new in a box.
Oh, I see.
It's not like they unhooked the toilet.
Yeah.
Like they were so into this guy. The fact that this guy had, you know, dumped in there for years.
Oh, believe me, looking at the guy, he's shut down a shitter or two.
I'm sure he has.
Is that possibly the reason why it didn't flush properly? It was
operator error?
Yes, it did.
Toilet in your house.
Well, look at him. Oh, man.
He said it didn't flush properly. He didn't consider possibly it could have been hit.
Over usage, because he's constantly on it. He needs to get some fecal-eating worms.
Brandon, I did see your Pornhub prep was Pornhub Halloween searches.
Yes.
And what was way up on Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween Hottie was up over 6,000%. Trick or Treat was up over 5,000%.
That makes me worried for the person that's searching Halloween Hottie in the middle of February.
If it's up, there's zero. A number. Yeah, Halloween Party also was number three. Halloween Anal was up 3,800%.
Oh, Halloween Anal.
Amateur Halloween was up 3,000%. Halloween Orgy up 3,000%. Fuck for Candy up 2,600%.
All right, Pornhub that one. Fuck for Candy. Let's see what pops up.
Actually, you know, I was hoping you'd get all the way down to what's up. 842%.
Fuck a Pumpkin.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Sexy Costume, 1,000%. Costume Orgy, 1,100%. Slutty Halloween, 1,636. Slutty Halloween sounds good.
It sounds generic, though. It sounds like it's just anything.
Oh, wait. What? Halloween Big Tits, 1,800%. Woohoo! Why are tits different on Halloween?
Pumpkins. What about,
why not just Big Tits?
They probably drew a pumpkin on it. A
little candy corn at the end.
How cute.
What'd you search, Brandon?
Halloween Big Tits, and the first thing that pops up is called The Worst Halloween Porno.
Why is it The Worst Halloween Porno?
I don't know.
See, man, I'm on pins and needles.
Jessica, you there?
Oh, she has an orange dress. You there?
The party was so lame.
Well, you better just fuck, then.
Freaking,
What search was this, Brandon? I'm sorry.
Halloween Big Tits, the one you want.
Oh, Halloween Big Tits, okay.
Now he's into it. He wasn't even paying attention.
Oh, he was just... Oh, I can't stand his face.
She's talking to nobody.
I had to leave early.
She's talking to herself. She's sorting things out.
Maybe she's talking to a ghost.
Oh.
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
She thinks somebody's there, but maybe they've been abducted.
Oh, I believe...
Oh, there's bloody footprints. Okay. OJ's there. Dr. Seymour Bush. What if OJ's in the end of this?
You know he laughed so hard when he came over.
I love a name that is Dr. Seymour Bush.
Oh my God.
OJ's in there. And he's scared.
She just figured out something is askew.
And it's the juice.
Oh, there's a hand.
It's a plastic.
Wait, I thought this was a porn. Is there going to be any porn in this?
Music.
Oh, here comes somebody.
There's OJ.
Looks like he's got an old... Is that an Obama mask? What is that?
It's Mike Myers.
Okay. He's got
what
a...
What is his
he's
music?
He's got a machete.
Wow. Nice editing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
She just knows. Kill me.
I better suck your dick.
Wow, she's bad at acting scared.
Oh, please, I'll do anything. Please don't.
What do you think she's going to do?
She bent down. She crouched down because she's so scared.
Oh, my God.
A terrible movie.
I'm dead.
Please don't kill me. Please.
He's not trying to.
Just a struggling actor with a thick, meaty cock.
She went right to his pants to unzip them.
That's pretty smart. I mean, if a murderer's coming at you,
I know. I think it's a good call. Oh, what do you know? He's hung.
I thought you had a big dick.
Shut up.
Nice.
I think she got a stay of execution for that.
Promise you won't kill me after this?
No.
Promise you won't kill me after this.
I'd be a little worried about the refractory period.
Oh, my God, he sounds like that. Oh.
I want to skip to the end to see if he kills
this her. This is one massive man.
With a load. Oh, nice boil over. Good job, killer. There's a fun Halloween-esque sex story for you.
Why is it?
Why is it what? Oh, God.
There you go.
She's really, is that the end?
Yeah.
She didn't die. Good news.
Okay.
Try another one. Okay. Search. So he's interested.
Are those just little porn vignettes?
Well, you've
it's
never
pretty
been
brief.
Ever been to Pornhub?
I'm not sure. Why was that Halloween big tits though? She never even took her top off.
I don't know. It just comes up in the search.
Okay. I think that search is very misleading. Something should be done about that.
You should
complain. I'm scared.
Can we complain to the manager?
But it's funny how people, they kind of react to what's going on. Kind of like that, you know, the greatest video game that's ever been released, this Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, the one you won't be playing much longer?
So right now, what's going on is, like, Pornhub and the other websites, they reported that they had this massive, like, 1,000% spike of people searching Western porn. They just want to see Western porn because they're playing the game. Then they're like,
why do I see Western porn?
I don't know. People get stuck in whatever they're doing.
Do something else.
So it was Halloween. It's going to be Halloween porn. Red Dead comes out. It's going to be Red Dead.
So is today All Saints Day porn?
Probably. I'm sure there's some kind of a spike.
Go to Pornhub and put in Saints porn and see what pops up.
Ooh, Joan of Arc. Joan of, what could that be called?
Mary Magdalene.
Anyone see the BuzzFeed story today?
No.
It's about the strange view or the strange response to all the crimes against women in the rap world and how nobody gives a fuck.
Unlike,
you know, the Me Too movement, which is really punishing people for doing these terrible things. Although interesting, I did read about, let's see, I was trying to think of in music, if we take music out of rap, for example, I was reading about the guy in that stupid Canadian band, Headley, who's been charged with two crimes, and Headley is just finished. And there's a couple other bands where, you know, it was learned that somebody was particularly misbehaving in some hideous way, and this British band split up. I'm trying to think of their name. I really hadn't even heard of them, but you know, I don't know how different the music industry as a whole is, but in the rap business, it does seem that nobody gives a fuck. And there were a lot of reasons given for this in the story, but for example, you know, XXXTentacion fans mourning his death, which I thought was really weird because there was no upset over him beating the shit out of his pregnant girlfriend, and among other things. I don't even want to get into all the stuff he did to her. And she has been harassed.
But she got beat up for that by the public then?
She was heckled at the vigil. She's been harassed at her job, and she had a GoFundMe. She had, $5,000. She has a cracked orbital bone or something.
Oh, man.
And her GoFundMe was shut down, and they implied that it had something to do with the... I didn't understand that part. And then Kodak Black, who...
We've talked about him, yeah.
Yeah, waiting for trial for sexual assault against a teenager, in and out of jail multiple times. Anyway, other artists are giving Kodak Black money for defense. And I think they mentioned Chris Brown gave him $10,000.
Of course.
6ix9ine pleaded guilty to using a child in a sexual performance, has a hit single with Nicki Minaj. Now, why would Nicki Minaj work with that dope? He's opening for her. Meanwhile, her brother's guilty of sexual assault of a child. So it just seems a little, really. And it goes on and on. Fabulous. Hit his girlfriend, knocked her front teeth out, then threatened her father and brother and her on tape. That was on TMZ. And they went down the long list. Trey Songz beat up his girlfriend in front of his security who did nothing for her. And she's, I think, awaiting a trial of some kind. Nas. His ex says he beat her regularly. His ex and the mother of his child are also says she was beaten. Then there's Russell Simmons. Spotify, R. Kelly, XXXXXTentacion were taken off Spotify. Other artists, Kendrick Lamar, and they named a few others, threatened to remove their music from Spotify if they didn't change the policy, which they did.
Oh.
And then Chris Brown, of course, and Rihanna. He's done multiple duets since then with female artists. Also, he's been on award show. I'm always amazed when I see him on award shows. It's like, wait, he wasn't in the Grammys because he beat the fuck out of Rihanna the night. Wasn't it the night before the Grammys or two nights before the Grammys?
I thought it was on the way to it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently that doesn't bother the award shows. They're happy to have him back. Sure. And I know that was a while ago. But anyway, the story was about this strange sense of morality. In fact, when... they had a lot of sort of theorizing about it. I get to the comments.
What were their theories?
One was that no one cares about black women. That you can do anything to a black woman and no one cares.
A lot with R. Kelly, like you mentioned.
Yeah. And you know, to an extent, I'm not sure what to make of that. And you know, they were talking about Chris Brown. Had it been Taylor Swift's face we saw all beat up, would we have given a shit? I didn't agree with that because Rihanna was a big star then, and she's a huge star now. I mean, certainly it's not like we don't care about Rihanna.
No.
But they also implied that many of these victims, in these cases I just mentioned, that they all said, oh, you know what, I forgave him and it's no big deal. And so they were saying, just because the victim no longer, you know, wants it to be a big deal, that doesn't mean it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah,
he's everyone else.
He's going to wail on the next person.
Not when it's a crime.
That he meets.
So, anyway, I get to the comments, and the comments were all like, fuck you! They're all mad at BuzzFeed for doing the article.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, it was really... And I didn't expect that. I don't know why, but... and I don't really remember why the comments were so mad. They seem to be supporting the artists. Like, oh, they're no worse than all the other people out there. Why are you picking on the rap artists?
Well, they are worse, it seems, than the other
And the other crimes and, the you know, shootings and... This thing with Tekashi 69, I'm like,
that's amazing.
Why is this not a bigger deal? He just gets probation, which people are shocked by.
Is it because a lot of them are just kind of on the border of real mainstream fame? Like, would you know Tekashi 69 if it wasn't for this?
Me? No, maybe not. But he has a hit record. I mean, once you have a hit record, it seems to me.
I really think hit records today don't mean what they meant.
Probably not. But some of these people have multiple hit records. Some of these people are established artists.
Chris Brown surprised me. R. Kelly surprised me. Nas has been around for a while.
Nas,
whatever his name is.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
I actually like a couple of Nas songs.
Fuck yeah. Well, he used, didn't he use Inagata DeVita in a song?
Oh, he did?
Oh,
yeah.
That's a great song.
Iron Butterfly, the guy that was
time travel
teleported.
Speed.
Oh, that's right. In his van.
He was beamed out of the world. then they found his van down a cliff.
Oops.
And he was on the way to the airport too, which made it even more spooky. Like he was going to the airport to be beamed somewhere.
I think he was beamed out of his van, and that's why it crashed.
He was. Yeah, maybe.
And then they beamed
him
back in.
I don't remember if they would.
You know, along with the assault, though, was the 16-year-old virgin that was taken by Harvey Weinstein. Can you imagine that being your first sexual experience?
Did you know that? There was a new Weinstein.
It's him?
There's the Nas song. It's Hip Hop is Dead. It works well for a beat. I had to flip this track again, y'all. NYC, Dirty South, West Coast, Midwest. Let's go. If hip hop should die before I wake, I put an extended clip and body them all day. Roll at every station, wreck the DJ. Roll at every station, wreck the DJ. If hip hop should die before I wake, I load an extended clip and body them all day. Roll at every station, wreck the DJ. Roll at every station, wreck the DJ. Do you want to know? Do you want to know what Harvey Weinstein did to this girl? She's a 16-year-old.
Not in great detail.
I'm not that much detail.
So me-tooed out. I mean, not really the concept, but the stories are just, I'm like, you know, one thing after another.
I think it reminds people what a monster he is, because he's kind of
disappeared.
Well,
I already know he's a monster. I don't, you know, I'm very aware of what an asshole
somebody
he is.
Should have dressed like him for Halloween. That's how much of a monster
think
he
somebody
is.
Somebody would have, except then they'd get me-tooed. They'd be in trouble themselves.
I mean, most of it is the same. She's a 16-year-old from Poland. He, of course, took his pants off and made her touch it. This is the one part I thought that was really weird. And I mean, it's all really weird, but this is the one thing that makes it different. He got her an extra role in the Nanny Diaries in 2004, but she continued to resist his demands for sex. In 2008, during an after-hours meeting in his Greenwich Street office to arrange her to sign with a modeling agency, Harvey Weinstein spotted Christina Aguilera on a nearby TV. And what do you think he did? What do you think he said?
Masturbated.
Do you know what he said, though?
I don't know.
Whoa. I'd really like to fuck up that pussy. And then he unzipped his pants and began masturbating, to which she then left the room. That's kind of a weird business meeting.
So she's trying to charge him for underage sexual assault of some or level of a sex crime?
Yeah, she was a virgin and he raped her, really, I think.
He did rape her.
Well, originally, let's see. He told her that he made Penelope Cruz and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, he did the spieling off list of people who, when you say no to him, then he's like, I did her and her and her and her and her.
He did
and
not
look where their careers are.
He did not rape her. He made her masturbate him earlier. Took her hand and put it on his dick.
That's hand rape.
Yeah. Well, the hand is the vagina. The palm is the vagina of the hand. She was 16 and from Poland.
Yeah, didn't know.
Someone was speculating that a 16-year-old in Poland is like an 18-year-old here. I don't know what that means. I don't know what
Anna Kournikova was. When she was 15, she was 19 here. There is an age change when you come here for some reason.
There is.
It's crazy.
Hey, I'm hot for the guy who killed Whitey Bulger.
It's funny. I saw that story and I was like, that's a pretty good-looking guy for a murderer of Whitey Bulger. I wasn't expecting to see a guy who looked young and, I mean, he looked like a regular guy.
He's 50, and he looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah, he looked very young for his age.
50 and being
definitely
in prison.
Really? I saw that he probably took out Whitey because he hates rats.
Don't they all hate rats? Doesn't everybody hate a rat?
Yeah.
Well, how did Whitey last this long? By the way, why was he transferred to West Virginia? He's only been in the system for, 6 years?
Because
an inside job.
Well, yeah, but he...
So the prison system decided, let's get him murdered at this West Virginia location because they kill people. They've killed 3 people in 10 months or something.
Yeah. Didn't he... He crossed or assaulted a guard, and so they booted him out of the prison he was in.
Oh, Whitey Bulger did?
He did something at the prison that he was in, and so they sent him to the unsafe prison.
I did not know that.
The Wild Wild West Virginia. Well, they haven't proven that they did it on purpose.
The reason I was kind of annoyed.
I had to know.
Now, of course, I'm glad he's dead because he's a lousy guy.
Yeah.
Really lousy. More than a lousy guy. He's a horrible guy. I read about, Kilpatrick's been transferred how many times? 3 times. He's been here, there. He was in Milan. He was in Oklahoma. He was
closer to the family.
It costs a lot of money to be transferring these people who have to be, flown. They have to be attended to. They have to be guarded.
Why?
Why are they transferring people around? Why don't they decide where they belong and
leave
put them
there
and then fuck you?
Yeah, I don't understand why they move prisoners.
I mean, whatever his family situation. First of all, I don't give a shit where his family lives. If they want him to be near the family, then the family can move near him. He's in prison because he did something wrong. A lot of things wrong. So if he's so important and this is such a small deal and they still want to see him all the time because he's so important, then live near the prison. You don't just move these fucking criminals, who have these long, long sentences. Oh, his family! Well, if he loved his family fucking mattered, he wouldn't be in prison. They mattered to him, so fuck him.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Fuck him!
I saw a picture, too, of Whitey Bulger, and they were, walking him to a chopper or something.
Oh, yeah,
and
he had headphones.
Yeah, he had Drew Brees noise-canceling headphones on. Why do they care about his hearing? First off, he's ancient.
He's the softest killer ever.
He is. That is a soft killer.
Wasn't
headphones? He probably can't even hear anyway.
I do think Robert Durst is kind of a soft killer too.
Oh,
although
yeah,
he did chop that body up.
That's weird.
Wasn't Hazleton where Martha Stewart was? Is that a federal prison?
Yeah, but that was white collar, real minimum security. This one was a max security where he was. I thought.
Yeah, there must be different. Different levels.
He chopped that dude up while he was dressed as a woman.
I know.
Because he was hiding. For killing another person.
God bless you, Robert Durst.
Wow.
What a nut
job. That was incredible that the jury bought that story that this guy attacked him and that he was, oh my God, I didn't know what to do, so I just chopped him up and got rid of him.
It's crazy.
No, if somebody attacks you and you have to kill him, then you probably should call the police and they'll sort it out. But when you start taking the chance of chopping a body up and getting rid of it, that usually suggests
you're in too
there's
deep.
Something more to the story.
Call 911!
The Sopranos did it all the time. They had great success with chopping up bodies, but...
Yeah. Now, in the true crime world, this story about the two sisters from Saudi Arabia,
wow,
something very interesting there, because they're duct taped together, and they drown in a river outside Manhattan, outside New York, right?
Speculation, right?
Yeah, that the Saudi government did it.
Oh, that's the speculation?
Well, I heard that today.
Well, what are you, on InfoWars?
No.
I didn't know that.
I'm trying to remember where I was on TV, I think, they were talking about it.
I thought it was
saying
just a suicide.
The Saudi government demanded they come home.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
You know, maybe I extended my, maybe I did that mentally myself because I it doesn't seem like the Saudi government takes being told no very well.
And they seem to have a history of just killing people.
Yeah, it's killing.
Yeah, and,
but I thought they were working.
Also, they were suggesting that it was an honor crime that they had dishonored their families by refusing the Saudi Arabian government.
Oh, yeah.
It's just interesting to me of all the outrages we have over here.
No, we love
that it
Saudi
doesn't
Arabia.
Bother us that that women are raped in places like Saudi Arabia. And they say, you've dishonored the family by being raped. You must be stoned to death. And we just go, hey, you know, it's over there.
Whatever. Yeah, we got bases and oil. And, arms dealers.
They buy a lot of military. And they keep Boeing going. So... What is the real speculation? I must be speculating myself.
They said suicide because they had to return, but I kind of like your InfoWars theory better.
Why did they have to return?
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
They're here.
I don't know. No one has to return anywhere once they're here.
They just got here, didn't they?
Well, they're illegal immigrants. No, they're immigrants, aren't they? I mean, they're not citizens.
Well, it seems to me when a government demands you come back, you could pretty well establish that I'm afraid to go back there.
Yeah, and they could stay here.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the other people who say that. Probably bullshit half the time, but...
All those people in the line 1,000 miles away
There's 10,000 people who are going to walk in the country in 45 days.
That number changes so much. That is most... fluid number.
You know,
how many people are actually there?
I'm basing it by there's another line joining the 7,000 person. What is the number? I honestly don't know. I was just guessing.
I have no idea. I mean, it was 7,000 one day, and then everybody said, oh, it's dwindling down. Yes, the space invaders. They're really Hondurable, though, aren't they?
Yes.
The claim that they have smallpox, though, somebody right away was like, no, there's no smallpox left in the world, so nobody...
Well, that was it. I can't remember who made that claim.
That smallpox.
They're going to bring disease in. I'm like, well, then let's close the airports. We're worried about disease being brought in. Look how many people fly from international destinations all the time.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
He's Trump's where they're going to throw rocks. That's the new one.
What?
You're going to throw rocks.
I have to say, though, duct tape being featured in that story.
Duct tape?
My shallow thought. Duct tape is pretty effective, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I really heard was that they were duct taped together and that when they entered the water, they were alive.
Yeah.
So they drowned.
But if you were the Saudi government and you wanted to kill them, is that the most assured way to kill somebody by throwing them in the water? Wouldn't you kill them and then throw them in the water and try to make it look like a suicide?
I didn't think it was a very good way to commit suicide either. Why would you commit suicide that way?
Maybe that's how they drowning do it in Saudi Arabia. I don't know.
Really don't know.
There's no trauma.
But if you were going to have somebody killed, you make sure they're dead.
I don't know. I was just wildly speculating.
That is a crazy way to kill
I don't know yourself. So they killed themselves because they felt they had to go back to Saudi Arabia? It was an honor suicide?
I guess so.
No, because women aren't allowed to make that decision for themselves.
They had recently requested asylum here, so I don't know if it got turned down or it was taking too long or what.
I don't think they'd been turned down. I think it was demanded that they go back. Which, why does Saudi Arabia give a fuck about two chicks?
A 22-year-old and a 16-year-old? Yeah.
Google walked out today
Ooh.
Over sexual misconduct by executives, which, interesting, they said is contrary to the Google mantra to do the right thing. The Google mantra. Wait, what is?
No. Their mantra is to make money for their investors.
When did Google get on a higher plane
deep
than everyone else and say, "Our employees do the right thing"? Isn't everyone supposed to do the right thing?
Of course.
Wait, what? I mean, it seems to me that's fairly assumed. If you work for a big company and you know make a living, that you do the right thing. I don't know why does Google think they're so special, but anyway. They gave one of their executives
an image thing.
A $90 million settlement and a $14 million loan. Why do you give somebody $90 million and then loan them $14 million? You just gave them $90 million. What do you mean loan you $14? We just gave you $90. You have $14 million 6.5 times, you asshole. Fuck you. What is that?
Oh, you mean like Harbaugh's loan?
Well, all these people. It happens all the time. And I always go, wait, the guy's making X plus $20 million and he wants to borrow X. Why? You just gave him more than X.
Oh, speaking of money, Luke Nowacki got back to me.
Oh, okay.
I'll read it.
And?
Hero, indeed, we can help out with that, meaning the open enrollment, ACA, and insurance. Met with a Drew and Mike business owner in Howell this afternoon. I don't want to say what's going on, but he's going to help them get coverage.
All right.
I feel like I divulged too much private information already.
Anyway, this executive not only got $90 million settlement, he coerced a woman into oral sex during 2013. I don't know if that was he charged with that or did he admit to that or somebody accused him of that? I'm not sure. But they gave him this fat settlement, and there was another guy who got a fat settlement too, and there was another guy who apparently was Me Too'd, and he was allowed to stay, and he resigned on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the guy that created the Android operating service. So if you're using an Android phone, Trudy, you're supporting that guy.
Well, just feel pretty good about that.
This had me thinking, though, about...
It's a good product.
Are we reaching a point in time where there are going to be white-collar unions when the rank and file are going to start demanding certain things or they'll organize? Because, I don't know, seeing Google walk out, it's a little strange.
Mm-hmm. But wait a sec. They're not walking out for... I mean, what is the walkout for? Are they demanding something for them?
No, they're upset about the sexual misconduct by their executives.
Yeah, but is that really what a union would do?
No, but the fact that they walked out of work, they all walked out of work and basically said, fuck you, and they're carrying signs, and, you know, they write little editorials about what's wrong at Google. It seems to me that the rank and file seem to think they have some incredible power at this giant company.
I had to use Bing all day. It was terrible.
Can really? You pop this up, Brandon? Search?
No. I guess if anybody missed anything.
Yes, they did send a message, a very strong message at that, because the word really
spread
quickly about this protest. And at 11:10 this morning, Google employees walked out of their offices. And this wasn't just a countrywide protest. This was worldwide. From Ann Arbor.
And we demand that a better reporting process be available to all Google.
Okay, that is a
to
demand.
Dublin, Ireland.
In solidarity with anybody who has experienced any form of sexual harassment.
And several other places around the world, Google employees walked out of their offices in protest of sexual harassment scandals.
The man approached me 7 days later and accused me one-on-one of escalating and making him look terrible to
me. Hey, serious is your shallow thought? See that guy filming, which I don't know why he's filming.
He's got really weird pants.
He's wearing leggings.
Yeah, boy.
He does have a
And
look.
He's filming, and the girl next to him.
His manager.
And this girl has a bullhorn, and there's no...
Why does Google...
This man still does...
Yes.
Google is a young company. I assume there's a lot of young people there, young way of thinking. Why would their sexual harassment policies be so old or out of date? Google, the do the right thing company. Are they just mad about the executives, or is this sexual harassment throughout the company?
Middle management, I don't know.
They were demanding changes in reporting, and they don't want arbitration to settle these things, and they had a series of demands.
Alphabet's a major publicly traded company.
I
Why
think
is anybody
it
surprised when these executives, what?
Yeah, well, that everybody...
They have a lot of value to the company.
Oh, no, of course they do. But they seem to be implying that Google has bullshit policies for settling, you know, everyday sort of sexual harassment things. And I thought...
They have that much going on.
Well, that much going on. I mean, everyone does the right thing there, first of all. So
They allow leggings.
They did say they'd fired 48 people in the last 2 years for sexual harassment, but they were implying that they boo-hoo any sexual harassment, that they just don't care. And they were angry about the way it's handled, arbitrated, reported... And so on and so forth. And I just thought, well, that's interesting. That I just wouldn't think this would be the case at a Google. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just saying it just seemed a little strange.
Guys, whether or not I get promoted.
They're upset about a New York Times investigation, finding several sexual harassment allegations within the company. In some cases, Google executives accused of sexual misconduct were given big severance packages.
It's really important that our company both talks the talk and walks the walk, and we just want to feel safe in our workplace.
The protest in Ann Arbor and around the world is one way Google employees are demanding change at the company.
Enough is enough.
Wait, in Google and Ann Arbor, they're not safe?
I guess not.
That's hard to believe.
I have a friend that works for Google. I asked her, did you walk out today? The response is, I didn't go anywhere near the office today.
Because they didn't want to be...
Presumably, yeah.
Well, you know, I kind of wonder when I see people on megaphones, you know, unless this...
you want to be the one dick sitting at your desk when everyone walks out?
No, I don't. But
unless it's raining.
If the policies are truly horrendous, if Google is that horrible, then yeah, I mean, everybody's walking out. So, you know, you got nothing to lose because everybody walked out.
It's called Mother Nature.
Everybody in the world who's mad at this should Google sexual harassment.
Oh, Google sexual harassment. So, they probably took all the stories
like
down.
Cause Google to have a breakdown.
I'm just...
Yeah, but once again, you know, no more about it. Bing.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like...
Right, like I do that.
Alta Vista.
All right, we do have the best stuff to do, so why don't you move us along here, Brandon. It's out of here. Another week.
Here's a fun story to end the week, real quick. Another final Megyn Kelly story.
Oh, they threw her belongings out?
Yeah, just read the quotes.
I'm sure she's very angry about
this. Just
read
the quotes in the bottom.
They threw Megan's shit out fast. And she said, two showrunners went in her office, literally swooped everything off her desk and off the walls and threw them into two boxes.
You're out of here, trash.
Nothing was handled with care. Some of the items broke, but nobody cares.
Look at me. I'm looking for the trash.
I love that they swept it off her desk.
Interesting, because she brought up blackface, then her personal possessions don't matter for shit. You know, these people who are so sensitive at NBC that they cry if Norm MacDonald comes in the building because of what he said about Louis C.K. and Roseanne.
But swept it off the desk.
But someone's personal belongings, if they would dare to bring up blackface, their personal belongings don't deserve to be treated with care. I wonder if these people would cry and moan like they did about Norm MacDonald if their personal items were not treated with care.
Yeah.
The top just wanted to be no remnants of Megan, wanted her and her stuff out of the building immediately. Meanwhile, they have employees who've been in blackface, but who cares about that?
Oy, oy, oy.
I thought it was, I just couldn't help but laugh when I saw Al Roker was a white person on Halloween.
It wasn't even a really good Doc Brown, though.
No, it wasn't.
It
was
weird.
Dumb.
I
thought it was stupid. It was like, if he had been in whiteface, it might have been better.
The hair was all wrong, though. You know, Doc Brown was more like, he had, you know, like a wig. I don't know. Yeah. It was just a bad costume.
But he was on the 9 o'clock hour, right?
Yes.
So he was happy.
Oh, yeah. He's got that now.
He never takes to make Al Roker happy.
Yeah.
Chris Cornell's widow also suing the doctors.
That's a wild
treated
story.
Chris Cornell. Yeah, you know, he had 940 doses of lorazepam, which is like Valium anti-anxiety, the last 2 years of his life, I think. Oof. He took it to sleep, got oxycodone, 20 months, no examinations. And, you know, that's obviously wrong, but Chris Cornell could get whatever he wants from somebody. I mean, I hate to say that because it doesn't make it right, but...
Don't want to make it easier, though.
Yeah. Non-physician staff, re-up the scripts, so on and so forth. All right. We'll see ya. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go blue. Go green.
Later, dude.
That's all.
Bye-bye, son of a bitch.
Sayonara, buttface.
Take care, star.
Keep it moist.
Thank you for your time.